It's showtime.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You don't have to sleep on that couch.
No, it's okay.
No, it's not. This is a huge bed. Come on, just get in and get a good night's sleep.
My penis is so confused.
You say the work, but you haven't said the words.
The work.
Prostitution.
Escort.
Escort. What's the difference?
Escort.
What's the difference?
I think it's the same.
What? Who said that? I did. Why did I say that? Oh, I think you know why I said that. I think it is very apparent. I think it goes without saying. Bear with me. There's a point there. But what is the point? I don't understand what he's saying. It seems a little shady. It seems a little foggy. Well, it's not a little foggy. There's really something going on.
And now,
Barcelona! Barcelona!
Our feature presentation.
And now, another drama-filled moment on the hills.
Hey.
Hi.
It's a nice shirt.
Thanks.
That was a drama-filled moment on the hills.
That was pretty dramatic.
How do they even get through days like that? My God.
By the way, that was the
drinking.
That was the exact same thanks as the Carl's Jr. thanks.
It was.
It was the exact same one.
You're absolutely right.
That's weird.
I think I heard that yesterday and thought at first that's what it was. It was
that
commercial.
That's bizarre. Well, maybe it's the same person.
Thanks.
That girl. Same one.
Yeah.
No.
What?
No. No,
it's not the
her.
Same girl, but
go
it sounds just like her.
Yeah, that's our chick from the Carl's Jr. commercial
right.
that we had
right.
in. But the thanks is Lauren from the Hills.
No, we know that. But doesn't it sound just like her?
Yeah, definitely sounds like him.
Is Lauren in the Carl's Jr. commercial? That's my question.
Oh. You're already too confused for today.
Thanks.
Pretty close.
Pretty close.
Very close.
Just saying. Well, they are white women speaking English, so there's going to be some similarities. But hey, speaking of Barcelona.
Yes.
You guys see Oscar De La Hoya on the news yesterday?
No.
Retiring.
Finally.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, is it really retired if you get beat every time you box? I mean, at some point, you don't even have to retire. People just stop watching you.
I heard he got too underweight. That was the problem.
Too underweight?
Yeah, I heard his manager talking yesterday about it and saying that was the problem. He got too low in weight.
Yeah, he got demolished. And I've never seen anyone that's at that level get that demolished.
You should see Mike's face, so puzzled. What? That's a weird comment, isn't it?
I want to know the correlation between Oscar De La Hoya and Barcelona.
Oh.
That's where he won his Olympic gold.
Okay.
Was Barcelona. I'm sorry.
You know what? I didn't care enough to ask.
I didn't either. I didn't get it either, but I just figured
I should have mentioned that. But I hadn't even thought of talking to Oscar, but when I heard that, it reminded me that I heard about Barcelona on the news yesterday, and that's why, because Oscar. Yes. Is that a legitimate connection?
Yes.
Yeah. It's just a long way to go.
Yeah.
Well, that's what he was talking about at his thing, is that that was like the high point of his life, and they'll never take that away from him. And he's always, you know, proud to have represented the United States as a champion and blah, blah, blah. Oscar, what are you going to do now that you're not going to be boxing anymore? You have any plans, Golden Boy?
I am. I'm going to pursue my career in many things. The Golden Boy, I have a lot of things going for me.
Like what things?
Male stripping.
Okay.
Reality television. You will see me on many shows.
Like what? Maybe The Hills?
Perhaps.
Yeah.
I've always been a big fan of painting. I will probably paint some many things.
Really? Wow.
Is it the same kind of painting that we think about when we think painting?
I don't know. Okay,
I didn't get that one.
I didn't get that one
at all.
I totally got it.
That was probably a better question for Gene Simmons, not Oscar De La Hoya, but I can summon him.
Just asking.
Wow.
What kind of painting are you doing, Kevin?
There it is. Okay.
All right. We're going to take your phone calls on any topic at 1-800-520-1067. It is the phone number that you pick up the phone and you call us every morning for Kevin Means What to Do Nephew. You get on the air and get a prize. That's the thing. I think you meant decorating more than painting, didn't you?
Sure. Yeah.
Whatever. Okay. It's all
no
in
wonder
the
I
same...
was puzzled.
Come on. How are you guys puzzled? But Lisa knows what I'm talking about. Because it was a stupid,
is
dumb
it the kind
sex
of painting
joke?
You're thinking of just doesn't make any sense. Nobody refers to that as painting.
So, I mean, it's one step away.
Come on.
That's not true.
What's happening here?
Who refers to it as painting?
Gene Simmons has many a time said, I enjoy splatter paint, much like Jackson Pollock you know, there, Lisa May speaking of.
Well, you talked about Barcelona and the Golden Boy retiring, and you're saying that mine is a stretch.
At least that's a real thing that happened in a, with words that you're connected that make sense.
Yeah, you're right. We never make jokes like this, ever. Never a joke like that.
Uh-oh. All right, good. Ralph can be the decider on this one because I just don't know what's going on today.
Check one, two. That was horrible, Kevin. Horrible.
Me horrible?
Yeah. Yeah. The painting, look, nobody calls it painting. Everyone was like,
you
what?
You could
what
figure it out.
But Lisa, is it the kind of painting that we talk about when we say painting?
As soon
like
as
the
he
worst
said that,
nonsense.
He knew what he meant.
We had no idea what he meant.
Really? I had no idea what he meant.
We were like...
He did the whole...
And I did that right after Bean in Barcelona and the Golden Boy. Didn't make any sense to you.
I own up to, I should have explained. I should have explained why I said Barcelona.
That was a leap that made sense when he put it together, but yours was just missed the mark.
So we're going to miss?
Swinging a miss, yeah.
All right. Can we start again?
Spackling, decorating. I mean, there's a lot of references, but paint—the kind of painting that we say when we say painting. No one knew what you were talking about.
Maybe it wasn't the best delivery.
No one knew what you were talking about.
Thanks.
All right, I'm going to say that
maybe
we
I spend
are going
too much time with Kevin.
Bean has to take back Barcelona, absolutely, and you have to take back painting.
All right,
I'm willing to do that. Painting. All right, and I think Kevin's got a great idea. Right ahead of going to your phone calls for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew, I think officially we start again.
And now,
Barcelona, Barcelona,
our feature presentation.
Is that the kind of Barcelona we think about when we say Barcelona?
Okay, now you're not making it any better, no, Kevin.
All right.
Come on.
All right.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
So, what it do,
what it do, nephew.
We do have a couple of lines open for you this morning. In fact, maybe more than a couple. If you want to get in, this is your chance at 1-800-520-1067. Tickets to the Kerouac Advance screening of a new film from Rogue Pictures called Fighting. Now, this one stars Channing Tatum and Terrence Howard. Kevin, some dreams are worth the fight.
I hear.
In theaters on April the 24th. I wonder what Fighting is about. I can't get any kind of a clue from the title.
Painters?
Maybe painters. Could be.
Don't really know. All right, 1-800-520-1067. All the lines are being answered in the other room. They have to put someone on hold before I can actually go to them.
Okay.
All right. This is a great beginning to the show. I believe it is a harbinger of things to come.
No, I'm real good. Quick. Real I'm going to go home.
Yeah.
You guys are going to talk to me later about how I should have probably stopped doing drugs earlier.
Yes, you didn't stop early enough in your life.
I think producer Alex needs to join that club. She told me about a dream she had last night where Ray Romano was picking on her.
Yeah.
At the April Foolishness.
Uh-huh.
And then Ray Romano and I threw down, and Ray Romano's posse came and ripped my limbs and clothes off.
Does Ray Romano have a posse, Kevin?
You're
friends with him.
But they ripped
him. He could use one.
And is Kevin in it? That's
my
question.
I am in it, by the way. I'm in the posse. And we're not ripping up anyone.
Wow,
that's...
I want whatever she has.
Right?
Yeah, I don't want her to stop. I want her to share.
There you go.
All right, let's begin with Eric.
Yeah, Eric.
What's going on?
What's going on, guys?
What'd it do?
Hey, so what's going on with that new movie? I heard you guys talking about that, the advanced screening. I know nothing about it, but just the name sounds really, really intense.
What is wrong with it, did you say?
No, what's going on with it? Like,
oh, you
know,
you're confused, too.
I think I'm looking it up. I'm looking it up right now on the IMDb, so give me 1 second here, and we'll figure out what Fighting is all about.
There's a dude, and he fights.
Oh, no, it can't be that simple.
It's one of these dudes that, like, fights to try and earn money for his family. It's not all that complicated.
Here we go.
Sounds like Fight Club.
It's about fighting.
In New York City, a young counterfeiter is introduced to the world of underground street fighting by a seasoned scam artist who becomes his manager on the bare knuckles brawling circuit. That's what it is.
Wow.
That's what I'm talking about.
Who would have guessed that?
Listen, if there's another movie about a counterfeiter who decides to go into bare knuckle boxing in the underground New York City scene... I can't take it.
Right, I understand. Yeah.
Thank you for the
But,
call.
You know, there are people who like to watch fights. So there's an audience for a film like this. And I know I don't know how you get a chick to this movie, but I guess putting Channing Tatum in it is one way to do it.
Sure.
Oh.
Let's go to Eric in Chino.
Yeah, Eric.
It's the all Eric edition. What's going on?
Hey, what it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
What it do, baby Boone?
Come on.
The greatest thing on Sports Channel last night. The NFL schedule being released, and the Mariners are in first place. How about that, Bean?
All right, wait a minute.
Okay, what does the Mariners have to do with the NFL schedule? I'm sorry, you lost me there.
I said the two greatest things.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So they released the football schedule for next fall.
Correct.
Okay, and...
With the, And the Mariners are in first place for being baseball, which I love, my favorite sport.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I was at the game yesterday. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, opening day, Griffey, first at bat, a single, didn't score the runner, but still, he kind of...
Is it possible to hold off on the in first place talk until, you know, maybe 3-4 weeks?
Kevin, the Mariners are never in first place right. after April, so we have to enjoy it while we can.
Right. Like, I can see that, but it's how much of a victory is it when they've played a game?
No, they're 6-2, dude.
Ah, whatever.
6-2.
And how many games are in the baseball season?
Well, I mean, they're maybe
170 or something?
162, yeah.
Okay, so let's just let it breathe.
I'm saying they've got a ways to go.
You don't open a wine before it's time.
They have a ways
but
to go.
If you're a football fan and your team starts 2-0, you know, you're not thinking Super Bowl, but you're thinking, hey, this is a good start to the season. It's kind of a similar thing. You look for clues early in the year that are going to hopefully bode well.
How many games do they play?
16.
16.
In 162.
Right.
Or
I'm
whatever.
Just saying, early in the season, you still want to be encouraged. That's my only point.
Well, and Bean has been just demolished by rooting for that team for the last couple of years.
True.
I have. It has been heartbreaking for just every minute. Just every minute of every season life. Has been heartbreaking. I know.
This is
so it's very exciting. By the way, speaking of the game, I know we're talking later on this morning about Giants fans and how stupid many believe they are to own up to being Giants fans when they go to a Dodger game at Dodger Stadium.
Right.
Case in point, the kid who got knifed the other day in the parking lot, who's a Giants fan, right? I had that in mind yesterday. I was at the game. The Angels have no road fans. I didn't see, sold-out game, almost 50,000 people. I didn't see a single Angels jersey or hat. Which is so surprising to me because usually you have a certain amount of people that show up to root for the team because they're from there or are fans of there and they get a chance to see them in another city. Not a single one. It was so weird to me.
I think nobody in Orange County or Los Angeles wants to go to Seattle.
That's
my answer.
Also, a lot of almost all of Orange County is suburbs. So most people that live there pretty much live there. They come there, they move there, and they stay there, and they retire there.
Yeah, but they travel. There are people who move away, and there are people on business. I mean, there's lots of people I saw Red Sox jerseys and Cubs jerseys. I mean, the traditional favorite road teams. I saw people with Yankee stuff. It's just so weird to me. I guarantee if it had been a Dodgers game, then there would have been a ton of Dodgers stuff there. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Well, there's Mexicans everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. That's a good point.
Did you shank whoever it was? I mean, you saw the Yankees? Did you take them down?
I did not.
Rear naked chokehold? Nothing.
But we are going to talk about that. I mean, the general consensus at Dodger Stadium is you don't do that. And
there's two parts to that. It's ridiculous that you can't wear an away jersey your home jersey to an away game.
It seems ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. But you also kind of know what you're getting into, so you're kind of dumb if you.
But if you just wear the jersey and then you're not an ass,
I don't
know.
Are
you okay?
I would guess for the most part, depending on the arena, yes. You know, if it's Philadelphia or Oakland.
Yeah.
You got to know where you are.
Then you're in trouble.
Right.
And increasingly Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We also have Jorge Garcia coming into the studio. He is Hurley from Lost.
Love him.
He's really a good actor.
He is.
We are going to call Sweden today.
Because we can.
Kevin Abedin, we do investigative reports usually. We try
absolutely.
To get to the bottom of stories. And a lot of times without calling the foreign country, it's really difficult to get every nuance. So when we call, that's when we really load up on the details and we figure out exactly what's going on.
All right. Excellent.
You can read all the newspaper reports in the world, see all the newscasts on a story in the world. But until Kevin Abedin get in there and really start digging around, you don't really get the real story.
Psycho Mike didn't stop doing drugs early enough in his life. We'll tell you about that. And we have tickets for you to go to Coachella.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to give you a chance to stump Jed today. So that's coming up
great.
As well. Coachella, of course, being the day after tomorrow already.
Wow.
So that's crazy. And then right after that, Acoustic Christmas. This year is flying right by. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Ralph Garman, good morning. Welcome.
Oh, Idol last night.
Nope. You haven't seen it yet. Too bad.
Music of the movies, Kevin. You missed Music of the Movies last night.
Yeah, and was it really great?
Where all the idols picked their favorite songs from movies.
Nope.
And Quentin Tarantino came by and suggested how they should sing them. Because, Quentin Tarantino has a long, illustrious history with music.
Hell of a singer, that guy.
In movies.
Yeah.
But wait.
It was a weird crowd last night. Who else was there? Katie Couric was in the audience, yes. I believe. I saw her. Who else did we see?
It was just Christine Applegate.
She was
in the
yeah.
audience.
That's
yeah.
right. It's just Stephen Van Zandt.
Yes, little Steve
from the E Street Band was there. I mean, people you'd never expect to be at an American Idol show were there. It was just weird.
Were they all with kids? Did they bring their kids? Or were they?
Didn't look like
it. I
don't
think so. No. Like they were there as grown-ups.
How about that?
Because the show's awesome. And by the way, Kevin, I thought about you because Gay Adam, who you know is going to win the thing, I mean, it's going to be the biggest upset in television history if he doesn't. He gave one of the greatest performances you'll ever see on a music
Another
show.
Another one?
Last
wow.
night. Am I lying, Ralph, or was it unbelievable?
Yeah. Are you? He's a talented guy.
Yeah.
It was a little posy,
little faux
rock
yeah.
and roll for me. Like Simon said, it looked at moments like he was doing Rocky Horror Picture Show up there. He had a yeah. leather jacket on, and he was doing Born to be Wild from Easy Rider.
Oh. Yeah.
And he's like, the voice is phenomenal. And he was like dancing. I was like, okay, easy there.
Mm.
Easy there, princess. You're not quite pulling off the rock and roll gig.
Even like ass kicking real rockers are reluctant to cover Steppenwolf because it is so actually like super tough.
This guy's voice is amazing, and he does remarkable sort of Axl Rose. Wah! He's got one of those things going on.
Right.
Great voice, but I think the vibe he put off was a little cheesy last night. And here's the thing about the show that ticked me off is that they're so bad. The show's so bad and so poorly run. That now they've decided they don't have time for all the judges to judge the idols. They only have time for two at a time.
So they went out each time?
So Fatty and Horseface will go together.
Right.
And then Paul Abdul and Simon will go together. But they'll alternate idols. So you only hear what Simon thinks about half of the contestants. And he's the only one who's right about them.
Huh.
And that's the guy I want. The only guy I want to hear from all night long is Simon. It's the only person I want to hear from. Everyone else can just shut the hell up. But why don't you just cut out Seacrest's jibber jabber? If you want to trim some time off the show so it doesn't run long, and let us hear what the judges have to say. People who actually have a valid reason for talking.
Randy's doing his part.
Very well, job done, baby.
I was so cheesed off.
Yeah.
For half the contestants, I had to hear what Randy and Horseface had to say.
Yeah.
She's got to go, that one. Because that's the reason they can't let all the judges talk, because now they have a fourth judge. It just adds that much more time to the show.
But. Yeah, don't you know what Paula's going to say for sure every time?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it'll make no sense whatsoever. You are dancing in the path of brilliance.
Yeah.
She said that last night. I'm not making it up.
Dancing in the path of
brilliance. You are dancing in the path of brilliance. As Simon says, I have no idea what you've just said.
Well, welcome to the rest of America, too.
So it should be one of them and Simon. One of them and Simon. Then you'd be fine.
Yes, okay. Exactly. So tonight, according to dialidol.com, the bottom three will be Allison Arihita, who I think is great. She did Don't Want to Close My Eyes by Aerosmith from Armageddon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great version of that. But apparently they claim she'll be in the bottom three again. Matt Gerard, who sang Bryan Adams, Have You Ever Really Loved a Woman?
Oh. Oh.
You're not in the Gerard squad, as the t-shirts now say in the audience?
Oh, no.
Come on.
And Chris Allen, who sang Falling Slowly from Once.
Man, oh man.
Kevin, you missed The Rose by Bette Midler. That was in there last
night.
That
sounds so
sure
bad.
Did. You would have loved it.
Every
it
time show, you guys Kevin. Talk about it, I go, thank God I'm not
there's
watching
a,
that.
There's a
I
lot
can't
of talent,
wait to get
though.
Home and see
there's
it.
A lot of talent. I'm telling you, this is the most talented top 10 they've ever had on Idol.
I agree.
There's not a lot of duds in this group.
I agree. Ryan. Kevin, tonight you can still catch Miley Cyrus and Jennifer Hudson performing on the Results Show if you like.
We don't care. Dude, we don't care. We don't care. Don't care. Don't care. Don't care. Oh, God, don't care, don't care.
Wouldn't it be great if Jennifer Hudson just plucked Miley Cyrus up and just ate her? Like one of those Gila monsters. Just whole, just swallowed. Just dislocated her jaw and just swallowed her whole like a boa constrictor.
Are you referring to painting? Is that what you're talking about?
Do you mean the kind of painting that we mean when we say painting? Speaking of reality television, Steve-O was booted off of Dancing with the Stars finally last night. Yeah.
Come on, the fact that he was still on it at this point
is shocking. It is remarkable. Last night in the show, apparently, Pussycat Doll, former Pussycat Doll, Lindsay Allen, stopped by with her new group, Cherry Boom Boom.
Oh, Jesus. What the hell?
To perform with Carmen Electra. No, I'm sorry I didn't watch that show. I'd like to see Cherry Boom Boom and Carmen Electra. Shia LaBeouf says he doesn't think he'll ever get full use of his hand back that he injured in 2008.
No kidding.
Yeah. He tells Entertainment Weekly magazine that it's likely he'll get back behind the wheel again someday. He still hasn't driven since the accident, once his driver's license suspension is over. But he said doctors tell him he'll probably get about 80% use of his hand. That's about the best that they can expect.
Wow.
Talk to the hand.
He said he's had to have 3 surgeries on the hand so far. The most recent one in April. Well, that's today. That's this month, rather. Mm-hmm. April 2nd. He said he had to do the most physical acting he's ever had to do for the Transformers sequel, and he had to do it all while nursing his hands. So he said it's been a rough shoot over there in Transformers 2. But that's a drag.
Shame, yeah.
Yeah, casting news for Dave the King of Mexico and other Kristen Bell fans.
Ooh.
Apparently she has been signed to star in a new comedy for Disney called You Again. She will play a woman who finds out that her brother is marrying the girl who made her high school years a living hell. Imagine that if your sibling was marrying someone who you absolutely hated in high school.
That seems like that would be
funny
bad.
Concept. Yeah. No word on casting with the rest of the parts, but congratulations to Kristen Bell. Her career's taking off. Oh, I still have to give her salt and pepper shakers.
She's the best.
She hasn't gotten those yet from me.
She's the best, and she's avoiding us because of Dave. That's my latest theory is...
Yeah.
She hasn't talked to us in a while. She hasn't come in a while. And I think it's because she's afraid of King of Mexico.
Sure.
But I have to give her my salt and pepper shakers.
Yeah.
So my eyes don't explode in my head. And NBC has announced they are renewing Law and Order Special Victims Unit. However, there's no decision on whether Mariska Hargitay and Christopher Maloney will be returning to the show.
Crap.
Their deal is up. And currently they're pulling in $350,000 per episode.
Wow.
They want a significant increase to their contracts, and NBC is not sure if they're going to give it to them, because these shows tend to survive with wholesale cast changes. So
that is true.
Really don't need them, they think, in order to make that show work, because it's mostly about the procedure, you know? Now at Law & Order, they've gone through all the detectives. They've changed a bunch.
Have they? Everything?
It's Jeremy Sisto now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and Anthony Anderson. Those are the two cops over there on regular Law & Order. Didn't you guys play Plinko with Jeremy Sisto or something? Weren't you guys on the Craig Kilborn show and you played some sort of game with him when you guys
That's
were
who
on?
That was? Yep. Yes, sure was. We did, Ralph. Very fun.
It wasn't Plinko. That's from,
no, what was the game that from, he used to play?
That's from Price is Right.
Price is Right, yeah.
They used to have some regular game that Kilborn used to play on that show. I can't think of it.
I had never heard of it before the night we did it, but apparently it was a bit that he used to do. That's a number of years back
now.
Very
funny.
If I remember correctly, we rocked it.
I think so.
Yeah. I think we might have. Yeah.
And Jeremy Sisto played the crazy brother on 6 Feet Under. That's when I first
heard. Yes,
was great as that.
And he was in Jesus too. Jesus, the miniseries. Today's celebrity birthdays: Emma Thompson turns 50 years old today. Really?
I love her so much.
I appreciate that, and I love her as well.
Yeah, I know, Belle.
But
yeah.
I don't
she
know
has not aged
Belle-worthy.
Very well in the last 10 years, though. I will grant you that.
Well, then you can't Belle her.
What?
Oh,
there's no
you still
even...
love her, but you can't bell her.
You can
I do.
Love her.
Okay. All right. I accept that. I'm just working it out live here, guys. I'll accept that.
You can love with no bell.
I do love.
Ed O'Brien from Radiohead is 41 years old today. Our pal Seth Rogen is 27. And Emma Watson from the Harry Potter movies is 19 years old
today.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I was waiting for the age so I knew which bell to hit.
Yeah. So, belly up to the bar, boys.
And isn't she worth like $200 million or something like ridiculous,
yeah.
too?
She's sick, rich, and hot. It's
beautiful.
And
19. Yeah, nice.
Yeah. So you can see why Emma Thompson pales in comparison.
Yeah, no question about
today.
That. Yeah,
she's not even the best Emma of today.
That's right. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
First, I believe we have an email with an instant request.
By the way, you missed a very funny conversation, Kevin, while you're out of the room. Psycho Mike was explaining to Dave, the Clippers fans, that for some basketball fans, there's a thing called the postseason that starts this weekend.
That's not even fun anymore.
And that Dave's like, no, you're stupid, man. The season's over. Everybody knows yesterday was the last game. And he's like, no, seriously. They go on and they play again. They play for weeks more. He's like, you can't be serious.
Yeah.
So, it was very funny.
All right. Let's talk about some Afro calls. 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. You can leave a message on any topic, including the masterpiece on YouTube called Cucamonga Heat.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of something for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys. I want you to double cross for me.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I just got married. Yeah.
All right.
Not as good as the original, and I never thought I'd say that.
No.
But that's the way it goes. I don't know if you saw the showbiz story.
Did you know that Britney went on stage in San Jose and said, "What's up, Sacramento?"
What's up, Sacramento?
That is classic.
That is really the best.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not even in the top 100 things that are embarrassing to Britney Spears. I mean, she didn't even think about that again after it happens.
We've said this before, but we have, like, our own stupid little inside jokes where we say things and kind of everyone in the room gets it. But right. Then you go outside of that group and you try to say things and everybody looks at you like you're a crazy person. It's not the best idea.
Right.
So I yelled Nope.com to someone in my lecture today after he said something pretty dumb. And then got an FU look by about 75 people in the room, including my professor. Mm. Thanks, Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin.
Yeah, I don't know you can blame me for that.
Nope.com, I think, is an effective thing to use in your everyday speech.
I do too, but Nope.
Whether you know the show or not, I still think it works.
Maybe it was his delivery. Maybe he said it poorly. Let's blame it on him.
Okay.
How about that?
You know what? F*** is Cleo's food. I've been wanting to do it my whole life, and I'll be wanting to do it till the day I die. F*** is Cleo's food.
Yeah. He's not the only one.
he's talking about pirates.
Sorry, what, Dean?
No, go ahead. I'm right there with him, though. I'll tell you, I don't want to go after him, but I definitely share his goal.
All this talk about pirates reminds me of a pirate joke. How does the Asian buccaneer stay in shape?
How does an Asian buccaneer stay in shape?
Okay.
Got it.
He does pirates.
I know that this most recent pirate story with the American ship got tons of press because, well, it was American. It's unbelievable how many pirate takeovers there are every day. You know, there were 4 more yesterday, Kevin?
Really?
Just yesterday there were 4 more with like 60 hostages taken. I mean, this is the way of life in that part of the world. It's just crazy in 2009 that there are still guys out there pirating for a living.
I want to be a Somali pirate. Is it too late?
No, I think you could do that. Sure.
I was so
You're missing 3 right now.
I was so lucky. That's true. They need to recruit.
Yeah.
I was so lucky. I got to go to Africa on vacation. Went to Kenya, which is right next to Somalia. And they told us there, whatever you do, don't cross the border into Somalia. This
really?
Was years ago. It's just like the Wild West.
Wow.
They just were like, you can't. You'll get kidnapped. You'll get your head cut off. Who knows what'll happen? Just don't go there. But I think it's worth it if I could be a pirate. You know?
Hey, Kevin, what kind of tragic accident did you have that gave you the brain damage? Because nobody could be that stupid. Jesus.
I'm not sure exactly what he's referring to. Could have been a lot of things. But it was probably my MMA days. Probably.
Yeah, you did take quite a beating.
Yeah. So that's probably what it was if I could zero in on it. Uh-huh. By the way, MMA beer mug. Is a new video that we have at krock.com. You want to go check that out on the Kevin and Bean page? He fights some professional fighters.
And it's a little brutal.
Well, he doesn't do well, but it is very funny to watch.
Hey, turn on that Channel 2 News and see Vera Jimenez. She's got a white top on. Looks like her boobs are just going to explode out of there.
Yeah, Vera, by the way, is a good deal, and Alita should take a hint from how Vera dresses on her newscast and maybe try some of that out.
I'd like to see you open up the category a little more than just weather and news people, Dean.
Those are the hottest people,
though.
Chicks.
I know. Outside that realm.
Those are my favorites, though.
Yeah. All right.
Can I get an Obama? Obama, 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 Obama.
We have to remember that.
This is some leftover conversation from April Foolishness, because this listener apparently did not think that we replayed and made a big deal out of Lisa's onstage announcement quite enough.
Really?
Okay, the Armenian comedian I can sort of understand, but who is the genius that let Lisa May at the microphone in April Foolishness? I'll tell you what there, honey. When the men are out there making the funny, all you need to do is pipe down, all right? We don't need to trap a girl talking about how she started her vodkication 3 hours early. So grab yourself a copy of Brothers and Sisters DVD box set, a whole slab of Haagen-Dazs, and pipe down while the gents are talking, okay? Thanks a lot there, Vanilla Thighs.
Hey, everybody! How about Craig Wilson? Craig Wilson?
Huh?
What? I may be a little drunk. I actually started vacation a couple hours ago, so you're going to have to forgive me. I've been drinking.
Yeah, that's sure obvious. Yeah. But the good thing about that was she had the confidence to stay on stage for another 20 minutes.
I had things to say.
Some kind of one-man play she had going on up there.
Prepare. weird.
It was really bizarre.
Might we have a suggestion for Coachella for those of you that are going all 3 days?
Mm-hmm.
I know you're going to be excited. It's a great time, long weekend. Everything's fantastic. Don't drink so hard on Friday. Just don't. Pace yourself a little.
Yeah.
You see people just throwing up and miserable and getting taken out on day one, and then they miss day two and day three. It's totally ruined.
That's terrible.
So. And I think people are also surprised if they don't spend very much time out in the desert, how hot it can be during the day and how cold it can be at night. Yeah, you do have to kind of prepare for both. And I think that's a shocker to people who are not expecting it.
You know how people do drugs for a long time and then they stop doing drugs, but it's kind of like you can't tell because the damage has been done?
Sure.
Psycho Mike maybe didn't stop quite soon enough. Psycho Mike, what were your wild years with the drugs and the alcohol? How old were you?
I would say 15 to 21.
Get
22.
On that other mic. There's something wrong with that one. Yeah. 15 to 21.
Yeah. So that was when it was really good and hard and heavy.
All right. That's a healthy way to do it.
That's when I was getting results.
For the kids listening, 15 is when you want to start abusing. So tell us what happened recently that made you think perhaps you didn't quit quite soon enough.
Well, I there was a time when I was having acid flashbacks a lot, but I hadn't
After you'd quit?
Oh, yeah. Like hence the name flashback. Yeah. I mean, it's, like I have non-flashbacks. There's nothing you can do about it, Lisa.
You weren't a nom.
It's
you don't have
your
those.
Brain. But they went away for a while, and recently, about 3 weeks ago, I had a really bad one. I was going to see Bandpax. All my buddies in the band Bandpax play at the Viper Room.
Okay.
Viper Room's in Hollywood.
You're right. Coming from Pasadena?
Coming from Pasadena.
Okay.
So I'm taking the 101 North.
Mm-hmm.
And
get off at Sunset, get off at Vine.
Yeah, so either Sunset or maybe Hollywood Boulevard, either one, to take it over. I didn't realize I might have passed my exit until I was
Now, this happens to all of us.
Sure.
Where you go, oh, man, I was on the
phone.
Kind
of daydreaming or whatever.
I'm already 2 miles past where I was supposed to turn. Oh, that's ridiculous.
Or you get on the wrong exit because you're, used to going to work or something. And But it happens to everybody. Kevin's right. But I didn't really realize I had missed my exit till I was in Oxnard.
Till he was in Oxnard.
I'm sorry. Ventura County?
Yes.
You drove to Ventura County before you realized you missed Hollywood?
I drove about 70 miles past where I
needed to go.
70 miles past?
Hold on a sec.
Even if you weren't paying very close attention, it had to occur to you at some point, hey, this is taking a really long time to get
no,
to Hollywood.
It didn't. And this is the really dangerous and scary part, is that I didn't even realize I was driving a car. Most people daydream. They get into the song they're listening to, and you're just like, oh, man, I totally spaced. I thought I was in Tokyo.
What?
You thought you were in Tokyo?
Yeah, that's from what I can remember.
Reals?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
I just had these really vivid memories of being in Tokyo.
Have you ever been in Tokyo?
Yeah, but like when I was like 7.
Okay.
Wow. So this wasn't just daydreaming.
No.
You were somewhere else.
The Star Trek Beam Me Up guy took me there. And
okay.
I was there. And then next thing I know, I snapped out of it, and I'm in Ventura County. And I went, oh, my God!
That's like being abducted or something.
Yes.
Do you honestly think it was some sort of flashback to some brain damage from drugs?
100%.
It has to be because... You have to remember at some point, say, in the first couple of miles, 5 miles, 10 miles,
you
maybe.
You passed the 405.
Right.
I mean, there are things. You hit Thousand Oaks. There are things that tell you have gone too far.
You are correct.
There's a thousand things.
You hit the 23 freeway.
And, yeah.
You hit all that stuff out
and
there.
It's a, and any of my cronies out there who know what I'm talking about, it's an acid flashback or like a drug-induced brain fart is a recognizable feeling. You know that's what it is.
Right.
I mean,
really?
You could, yeah.
This was not a fart because it's much longer than that.
No, this
There's
was
no fart
this
long.
Was brain diarrhea. This was a complete explosion.
Wow.
Does the brain drive the car?
That's a good question.
Efficiently while this is all going on and you have no consciousness.
I think because I drive so often and so much, it's just like subconscious.
Reflex.
I can drive with my subconscious because it's reflex, like being said. If I was doing, archery, something that I don't know how to do, I definitely would have not been able to function.
But Oxnard, did you go, this really scares me
because
I don't remember any of the last 70 miles.
Yeah.
At Omar's wedding, for instance, Jenny, my wife, and I started talking about wedding and stuff because, you know, we're at a wedding. And I looked at her and I was being dead serious. I was like, I don't remember our wedding at all. I don't really remember anything. She said to Alex,
I remember your wedding.
Yeah, me too. I know.
Which is
she
weird.
She said, we were married by a woman and my mother-in-law wasn't too happy about that. And I was like, we were married by a woman? And she was, I was being dead serious. I don't remember,
that's in a flashback.
Right. Yeah,
I think that's a little different than what we're talking about
my
with the
point
driving.
My point is, I laughed that off. I was like, oh, well, right. You know, I shouldn't have partied so hard.
Hey, that's funny. I didn't remember that. But
when I woke up in Oxnard, I pulled over. I was sweating. I was seriously concerned. I said, oh, my God, what's wrong with me?
I think Lisa hit the nail on the head, by the way. What you're describing is exactly what people talk about with alien abductions, where they lose time and they wake up in a completely unfamiliar place and they don't know how they got there or why.
Did your ass hurt? Because maybe that's what happened. Maybe you got anally probed by an alien.
Well,
he did hurt. Stayed at Oxnard if that was going on.
It did hurt, but much like an alcoholic says that he can't really tell between a hangover and being drunk because they drink so much, my butt hurts so much much ass play.
Now, so you turned around and went back. Did you try to make it?
No.
To the show?
No. I mean, you know, I left my apartment at like 8 o'clock p.m.
Okay.
Thinking that I would get there around 8:45, 9-ish
sure.
to see the show.
Right.
By the time I turned around and came back and I was anywhere near Hollywood, it was already like 10:30. So I said, yeah, I'm going to go home and pretend like this didn't happen.
So you drove basically for about almost 3 hours.
To do a U-turn.
I want to hear more about why you thought you were in Tokyo and what you were doing. So while you were driving, in your own mind, you were also driving, but in Japan, or you were walking down the street?
No, I was just having memories, vivid, clear memories, as if I was there, like being in a virtual reality video simulator. The best way I could describe it is it's like having a dream. It's like having a dream where when you're dreaming and you're actively in that dream, you're there, you're doing it, but then you wake up and you realize you're not. You've just been sleeping.
Do you think they were memories that you saw while you were there, or were they completely just kind of made up?
That I can't tell.
Yeah. Hmm.
Wow.
You're effed up.
I know. And I feel bad.
Does this happen very often to you where you have some sort of a flashback like this?
They used to happen a couple times a week when I was in, like in 2002, 2003. Now, they hadn't happened for a long, long time, years.
And 70 miles, by the way. That is unbelievable. 70.
Yeah.
Maybe you should go back to drugs.
Well,
might as well have the benefit if you're going to have the negatives.
The quality of my life has improved substantially, but I was a way cooler dude when I was.
And people actually liked you then.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you should do it.
All right.
Okay. By the way, lots of great jobs posted all the time on the Kevin and Bean Give You a Hand job page at KROQ.com. It's in the Kevin and Bean section of the website there. And producer Lightning comes in excited. I think we're going to lose him, by the way. I think he's now seeing so many good jobs advertised in Southern California that he's going to realize he can do better than the job he has at KROQ. But there's jobs in the entertainment industry. There's jobs in, you know, all sorts of businesses. So if you are out of work, underemployed, or unemployed, you might want to check out the Kevin and Bean Give You a Hand job page. And if you have a job that you want to post, you can go to the same place. It's a service we provide to you here at the world-famous KROQ. 651. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey. How'd you like to bang Cindy Margolis?
Yep.
I guess I'd be all right.
If I was forced.
Fox Reality Channel has a new show called the Cindy Margolis Dating Project.
Yeah.
Apparently Cindy's looking for a dude.
And is that a guarantee for the winner?
That you get to have sex with
her?
Uh-huh. It is if I win, baby. Uh-huh. I'm not taking a no from Cindy Margolis. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
It's probably like The Bachelor, where you guys are put together and you're adults and do what comes naturally, I guess.
Kind of sounds like what debuts on TV Land tonight, which is The Cougar. Which is The Bachelor with an old broad and a bunch of 20-something tools, which might be fascinating and entertaining now that I think about it.
My crotch really, really loves it.
Yeah.
Great idea.
If you'd like to have a shot at dating Cindy Margolis, who at one time, as you know, was the most downloaded woman on the internet, and she's been in Playboy a bunch of times, you can go to foxreality.com/Cindy, and you can apply and get a chance to date Cindy Margolis. Who wasn't she like recently married and having all kinds of kids and stuff and everything?
Too, yeah.
What the hell happened there? Maybe we'll find out.
Yeah.
On the Cindy Margolis Dating Project. Just want to give you a heads up in case you want a shot at it.
No end to those, is there? I mean, basically, they can do that with anyone that anyone wants to watch.
It's true.
Looking for love. And quite often they find it. That's the amazing thing about these TV shows.
Almost always.
And it's real, my brothers.
Michael Jackson stuff is no longer for sale.
What?
The Los Angeles Times is saying that Julian's auction house has reached an agreement with Michael, preventing the 2,000 or more personal items they were going to put up on auction next week from being sold.
Because he has all this money coming in from the concert.
Maybe. Ah, he earned it back.
Yeah. Terms of the deal were not revealed, but he gets to keep all his stuff. However, as part of the concession of giving him the stuff back, Julian's gets to keep the exhibition open to the public so they can charge you to go through and walk and take a look at the stuff.
Oh, it's pretty amazing. It's a pretty amazing collection of memorabilia, I'll tell you that.
So it'll be like a Michael Museum, in essence, traveling around the country instead of an auction where they're putting the stuff on display for you to bid on. You just get a chance to check it out. So if you want to see the glove, you know, from his famous Thriller tour or whatever, his moonwalk boots or whatever the hell he wears, I don't know.
What goes on with a guy who has dozens of full-size oil paintings of himself hanging in his home? What's that about?
He likes him some him?
Yeah.
Sure
yeah.
does.
Yeah.
Is he nude?
Yeah.
I'd have nude paintings of me around with giant erections.
This one time I heard there was a guy who had a picture of O.J. Simpson.
And, I heard too. And he was nude.
And he was nude. And yeah. it was in the dude's bathroom.
Really?
How creepy is that?
Well, showing creepy. The juice is junk,
yes.
right? Full-blown wow. junk shot.
Yeah. But I don't think that's as weird as having giant oil paintings of yourself all over your house. That just struck me as crazy.
I'd rather know. Look at myself than look at naked OJ.
Naked OJ is a big hit in my bathroom, by the way.
I bet it is.
Who are you
when you're
polling?
In there for 15 minutes at a time?
I'm just saying that when guests come by, they always enjoy it. That's
10,000 Russian yards, 6 Pro Bowls, 2 arrests and no convictions. Orenthal James Simpson.
And his junk hanging in Bean's bathroom.
Yeah.
I need to look into that a little more in detail.
Bean?
A little later.
What are you doing in there? Bean?
I'm almost ready, Don. I'm almost done. I'll be right out.
Pick up some more Jergens when you're at the store.
Oh, come on now.
Eminem's
hilarious.
Eminem's going to do his first live performance since 2005 next month.
Wow, it's been that long.
Marshall will be performing at the MTV Movie Awards on May the 31st at the Gibson Amphitheater here in Los Angeles.
Well, you guys, how are you guys measuring the excitement level over Eminem being back?
It's hard for me to measure. I'm excited. I like him. I like pretty much everything he's done.
I've heard one of the new songs off his new CD. It seems pretty Eminem-ish.
Mm-hmm. It is, yeah. I don't know. I'm excited.
The new album, Relapse, will be released on May the 19th. So this, of course, all ties in. But it's been a long time since we've seen him perform.
Sure
so.
Has.
Could be good.
Or could not. Be good.
Ah, Mel Gibson's the man.
Why? Thought he was having to give up half his money.
Well, sure, he's going to lose $450 million. Don't get me wrong.
Okay.
But you know what makes up for it?
What?
Banging 24-year-old, smoking hot Russian supermodel pop stars. That's what makes
that?
Up for it.
Yep.
All right.
His new girlfriend, Oksana Potcheva, has told the Sun tabloid in the UK that she is dating Mel Gibson and doesn't plan on stopping anytime soon. She is 24 years old. She says, "This is serious, and I hope that our union will be real and strong and long-lasting. We are different people, but Mel is a grown man and knows precisely what he wants. And me too. I know what I want.
Sex and money, in that order."
Apparently, yes.
Yeah, he still has $450 million.
Yeah.
That's right. It's not too shabby.
No, he wants sex. She wants money.
Right.
So, there you go. Now, this is coming on a statement, by the way, that another Russian singer named Oksana Kolesniknova was linked with Mel, but they think there may have been some confusion between that woman and this woman. So Oksana Potcheva apparently is the real deal.
Wow.
And
is that Tyler Durden
that's a
today?
Photo of her right there on What Would Tyler Durden Do? Yeah.
Wow.
That's all right. Oksana Potcheva.
Okay.
Hmm.
So, good work.
Good for him.
Doesn't seem like good timing to have a public relationship for Mel Gibson. Seems like he'd want to keep that pretty low-key right now just to not irritate the wife.
Well,
yeah.
I don't know. What difference does it make?
His wife might not go for $450 million if he's not dating anybody. Yeah,
no,
right.
I'm not That'll saying happen. That. I'm just saying, why rub her face in it publicly on
yes.
top of I'm already getting a divorce? And
because
I'm not talking
if
about
she
painting,
would rub
Kevin.
Her face in it once in a while, he wouldn't be getting a divorce. That's all I'm saying.
Because it's going to cost him a lot. He needs to get his money's worth.
That's right.
You know.
Look, he's going to lose it one way or the other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As Tyler Durden says, unless he gets Larry Flint appointed as a divorce court judge sometime soon. So. Either way, he's screwed. So he might as well go out, you know, with a 24-year-old Russian boxer.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
I hear you.
And sad, sad news. I don't know if you've heard about Marlee Matlin's new autobiography.
No.
No.
Entitled I'll Scream Later, where she talks about a very painful life that she's had. Stories I never knew existed. You know, she did a William Hurt for a long time. The actor William Hurt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Apparently it was a very abusive relationship.
Oh, no.
He was physically abusive with her. She says, I always had fresh bruises every day. And if I had a split lip, I mean, there were a lot of things that happened that were not pleasant. Apparently, there was a lot of drug abuse in the relationship as well. I was always afraid of him, but I loved him, or maybe I thought I did. I was 19, and he was 35, so maybe I was mistaken. Wow. But she talks about that relationship and the fact that she was abused as a child by a female babysitter who would watch her when she was 11.
Wow.
So a lot of pain in this new book entitled I'll Scream Later, which apparently hits bookstores this week by Marlee Matlin.
I didn't even realize she had such a bad drug problem, too, in their late teens and early 20s. I mean, she was hooked on some pretty hard stuff.
Yep. And it effed up her speech, too.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
The drugs she did.
Pretty rough.
You should remember that, Mike.
Came and
Ice Cream Man!
What?
It's the name of the book.
What is it?
Ice Cream Man!
Okay.
I'm glad I'm
Nope.com.
Give it up for Craig Wilson, everybody. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Emma Thompson is 50 years old. Guitarist Ed O'Brien of Radiohead turns 41. Our pal Seth Rogen currently can be seen everywhere in that movie that he's in. Observe the Report. Yes. Have you ever seen that yet?
I haven't. Looking forward to it. I'm dying to see it.
Very dark. I'm telling you. Very creepy. Very funny.
I like dark.
27 years old. And Emma Watson. Hermione from the Harry Potter movies.
Yeah.
Hermione, that's what I call her.
Yeah!
Wordplay! She is 19 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
All right, let's talk about a-hole sports fans.
Seems like
there's a lot of them.
They're taking over.
And there was a dude that got stabbed at the Dodger home opener.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he was wearing a Giants hat. And
isn't this exactly what Carrick Lister Rudy warned us about, by the way,
yes.
when we talked to him on opening day, home opening day? He said, yeah, that's the plan, is to go out there and shank some Giants fans. I mean, he was looking forward to it, if I recall.
But listen to this story and then tell me whose fault this is.
Just as the crowds were leaving the Dodgers' home opener, near the Academy Way parking lot exit, a 30-year-old man was attacked with a knife after getting into an argument.
A gentleman was walking out of the game and exchanged some words with gentleman in a vehicle, a truck. The people got out of the car and they had a fight. He was stabbed multiple times.
All right, so he got stabbed. So the dude's exiting Dodger Stadium, and the Dodger fans are in the truck going home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And this dude apparently had to mouth off and tell them how much they suck or whatever. You know, they stopped the truck, got out. I mean, come on, why? We were having this argument yesterday. Yes, you should be able to go to every sporting event wearing whatever jersey you
want
or hat or whatever. Most of the time, though, it seems like the people that get stabbed or beat up or whatever are a-holes on top of it. So they're
Well, they've been drinking, and the people they're yelling at have been drinking and are armed.
I'd like to know what he was mouthing off. Didn't the Giants lose that game to the Dodgers, Mike?
By a tremendous amount.
Yeah, what was he mouthing off about?
I don't know. They just do.
It doesn't
matter the score.
Yeah, Dodgers are stupid. I mean, it really couldn't have been anything too intense, but...
Right. Giants fans can't help but being bad. They're born that way.
It's in their nature.
and if this conversation were being held in San Francisco, they'd be saying, dude, what are you going to do? The Dodgers fans, they're all dicks.
Yeah. Well, and there are also rivalries that you kind of know you're in for trouble. You know what I mean? Like the Chargers, Raiders...
Right.
You know, if you wear an away jersey to one of those home games, you're going to take some crap. But
right.
for the most part, as long as you're not an a-hole, you can kind of get away with it. But if something happens, you also can kind of see that you probably were looking for a little trouble to begin
right.
with.
Mm-hmm. What happens when you go to Laker games, Kevin, and the opposing team has a fan base? You know, maybe it's the Celtics are in town or Phoenix or somebody like that who's got some hardcore
Phoenix,
fans that
Celtics
live here.
Get beat up. Do they really get beat up?
No, I'm just kidding.
Is it mostly like kind of good natured rivalry? Like you're kind of having fun with it if you see somebody.
I think that's true most places. What would you say, Mike? You go to more games than I do, but
if it's the Pistons or the Celtics, it can get just as bad and rowdy at Laker games as it can at Dodgers.
But what if the fan is just sitting there and not turning around and going in your face?
For the most part, Kevin's exactly right. I mean, it's one thing to wear a Celtics jersey to a Lakers Celtics game. It's another thing to stand up and go, yeah, what now?
Right.
The Celtics are wicked great, yeah.
Right. Those are the people that are going to get beat up. And I've had several instances of this. One time, Ralph reminded me of yesterday, I don't even remember, but we went to a Lakers Philadelphia game, and I was wearing a Kobe jersey. And Ralph said I got surrounded by Philadelphia fans.
And you weren't doing anything?
No, but, you know, I was wearing a Kobe jersey.
That's it.
In Philadelphia. In Philadelphia, you got to know. That's one of those places where you go, okay, these people are a little nutty. But I didn't get beat up. You know why? I kept my mouth shut. Mm-hmm. You know, they surround you and they start yelling at you and taunt you. That's kind of what happens. It's okay.
But, right. But isn't it crazy that has to even cross your mind that you yes. shouldn't wear a jersey of an opposing team? I mean, that's sad.
It is ridiculous and sad, but you also have to be realistic and understand that.
And it's not just the jersey. People are drinking.
Yeah, there is an a-hole factor. And then it adds the alcohol factor to the a-hole factor. And you end up getting – I mean, we went to the 1993 Stanley Cup Finals when the Kings were playing the Montreal Canadiens.
Maybe one of the last times the Kings ever made the playoffs, right, Kevin?
In Canada. You don't have to rub it in. I'll shank you right now. So I'm wearing a Kings jersey in Canada, in Montreal, right? All through the day, it was good-natured fun. Everybody had something to say, but they were cool about it. No problem. Get to the game. It was the game that the Canadians actually won the cup. They beat the Kings. And Bean, my good friend Bean, wasn't wearing anything from the Kings. And he was yelling, Kings fan, right here, Kings fan. So in the first period, it was fun, you know, and people were mouthing off and whatever. And then people started drinking. Second period, it looked like they were going to win the cup. Now people are right in my face, spitting on me.
By the way, they're winning. I don't even get why they turn on you when they're going to win the cup.
I don't know.
That seems weird to me.
Yeah, like,
it's
isn't
like when
that
a team
enough,
wins,
right?
They go outside and turn over cars and light fires.
Let
why?
Me get to that point. So
that's still coming, Lisa.
So third period, they started pushing and shoving, and I literally have never done this before. I don't consider myself a weenie for it all.
Yeah.
Threw my jersey away, went and bought a T-shirt and put it on.
No kidding.
And Bean and I walked back from the arena through the riots.
They were rioting.
Through the cars on
where
fire.
Cars were on fire. People were throwing chairs through windows, the whole thing, and literally high five. We did it! Woo! Just to be alive when we got back to the hotel. I've never been in a situation like that.
That was
so
pretty scary.
It's funny that Canadians rioted.
When it comes to hockey, though, that's their thing.
Right.
And I'd like to point out, for the record, by the way, I could be wrong, but I think I'm not on this one. That's the last time that a Canadian team won the cup, too, by the way.
Oh, no
so,
kidding.
So it shows how rarely it happens anymore, so they really get excited when it does.
Yeah. It does not help to have an a-hole friend that points out to you, you know, to everyone there, in case they want to take a swing, that you're wearing a jersey.
Right.
We're going to take your calls, by the way, on showing up in the opposing team's jersey or hat or being a fan or mouthing off or whatever you're doing. We want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. But before we go to those calls, let me get back to this Dodger thing for just a second on Monday. Because, Mike, tell me if I'm wrong, because you're the Dodger season ticket holder. The McCourts, since they've owned the team, have really taken this problem seriously because they saw the reputation of Dodger Stadium going down the tubes a little bit with people who are now – there are some people who are kind of afraid to go. Aren't they going out of their way to try to combat this? They've got the phone number that you can call if you're at the stadium, if there's a problem in your section, and they'll come and take those people away. I mean, they're doing a bunch of stuff, right?
They have a phone number. They have a text. You can text silently, and it goes directly to security, and they know exactly what section and everything you're sitting in. They'll come down immediately.
Hey, just before you hit me in the face again, hang on. I have to text someone.
Just a second. They stop serving alcohol and a lot of sections.
Yeah, and they have non-alcohol sections now and everything, right?
You're exactly right. They've dealt with this head on. And I think that the culture in L.A. sports teams, Dodgers and Lakers in particular, has changed over the last 20 years, too. They got a reputation for being kind of weak fans, and I think that was earned. But a lot of things have developed in L.A. where they're turning into Detroit fan, Philly fan, and Boston fan.
Oh, how dare you? We're not at that point
yet. And that a lot of these kids out there have nothing else to live for. I mean, you know, if your life sucks, your job sucks, if you have a job, and you know, nothing's going for you. The one positive thing you have is that Manny blasts homers and Kobe does dope things. And it's true. And when someone tries to threaten that or take that away from you or rub another team in your face, these guys, they mean business. They seriously
lose perspective a little bit of what's really important.
Yeah.
Let's talk to John real quick in Northridge. He's on line one on the Kevin Bean Show. John, thanks for hanging on. What do you have to say about this?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
As a Padre fan living in L.A. for over 12 years now, I've basically come to realize that I can't go to Dodger games anymore. Now, even if I'm wearing a
really?
Padre t-shirt. Yeah, as a Padre hat, Padre t-shirt, anything. I get yelled at walking into the stadium. I get yelled at and get stuff thrown at me all during the game, and I get yelled at walking back to my car.
Wow.
So you guys talk about this Giants fan. Chances are that he was just...
No, I mean, he was mouthing off. That's what the newscast, they had identified, that he was yelling at the guys in the truck.
Well,
but it sounds like John is saying he's not even mouthing off. He's just showing up wearing something.
Exactly. Now, when I was younger, I did used to mouth off, but I've learned my lesson because I got jalapenos thrown at the back of my head.
Right.
I've ruined my old Tony Gwynn jerseys, and so now I wear just a white t-shirt and a blue hat, and I try and enjoy the game, and I can't even do it anymore. It's not even fun.
Wow.
That
sucks.
Sad.
That does suck because, I mean, part of the fun of sports is rivalries.
You should root for a better team.
Uh-huh.
And you have to have somebody to play. You got to have another team to play. So it doesn't make any sense to kill everyone who follows that team. They have to exist.
And also, I want to make also a point is even when you go down to San Diego, it's difficult because there's so many Dodger fans down there. San Diego is a city that people move to from all different cities.
Right.
I know you guys have mentioned that before.
Sure.
So it's difficult even to drive down to San Diego. In San Diego, you get yelled at.
I think about half of the season tickets for the Chargers in the NFL are from Southern
LA County,
living people. They drive down to see the game.
Let's talk about the Raiders. I can never even go to a Raiders game, whether it be in Oakland or San Diego. It's not an option.
Well, that's a rough one. I mean, that's a real bad, a really bad one compared to most.
You are going to have to just accept that if you want to see the Padres play, you're going to have to fly to, you know, Cleveland or someplace to do it. I mean, just someplace safe that you can enjoy the game, I guess.
Yeah, or just enjoy it from my living room on a nice big HD TV.
Sure. There's that.
All right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's take one more before the break. Jim is in Universal City. He's on line two on the Kevin Bean Show. Jim, you got it in for LA fans too, it sounds like.
Oh, for sure. I'm not from Los Angeles. And I go to Dodger games, well, I used to, and I used to go to see the Cubs play. And it didn't matter what you said or what you did, the fans would try to take it personally.
Right.
And they would start fights with you,
so,
no matter what.
Did you wear, like, a jersey or a shirt or a hat?
Oh, for sure.
Did you stand up and scream when your team did well?
Yeah.
Did you ever turn around to the Dodger fans and go, "How about that?" in your face?
No.
Jim, don't lie to me.
They did it to me.
Well, of course they did it. You know what? I don't understand.
But the thing is,
Here's the thing. The reality is it shouldn't. I mean, the truth of the matter is that in a perfect world, it shouldn't happen. But you know when you go there in a jersey of the opposing team, you're going to take some crap from some of the fans. That's just going to be a part. Is it going to be an a-hole that's drunk and takes it too far? Maybe, maybe not. But you are going to get some crap from that.
Jim, I in no way endorse or support violence at Dodger Stadium or anything like that. But at the same time, when you put on that Cubs hat before you went to the game, you had to recognize that that might rub people the wrong way.
Just wearing a hat?
Sure.
I went to school in Wisconsin. I was a Bears fan. I went up to the Green Bay to see the Packers and Bears play. We're in the stands, and we're yelling and screaming. It was when Walter Payton was there, and the Bears were winning. And so the guys in front of us were getting angry because we were just yelling. We weren't saying anything bad. We're just yelling for our team.
Yeah. I think I'm going to have to rule against you, Jim. I think if it happened in more than one sport, in more than one city to you,
They turned around, and the guy from behind us said, "No, turn around. The game's in front. They're just cheering for their team."
So you think Jim's the common element in all of these stories? That's what you're saying,
Kevin. Asshole.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. All right. Thank you for the call.
Different sports, different cities. Come on.
Hey, he's throwing out two really, recognized hostile environments. He's throwing out Lambeau Field and Dodger Stadium, and he's saying, "Oh, I was just cheering for the other team. I mind my own business. I just happen to be cheering for the other team." Well, look, you know going in that this is a volatile place.
Sure.
Don't rock the boat. okay? And like I said, I don't necessarily support, you know, violence at all at these games. But at the same time, you have to know that you are being an asshole by walking in there with the opposing gear on. You have to understand that.
I don't think you're being an asshole then. I really don't. I think that there are going to be people who are so crazy they're going to interpret you as being an asshole, but you're not really. I don't think it's on you for showing up if you're well-behaved and you're not rubbing it in everybody's face and you're just there to root for your team. I don't think so.
But let me say this. It may not be on you, but it's on you that you don't recognize you're creating that situation in other people's minds.
Exactly.
That's the way it works. It shouldn't, maybe, but you got to know that and kind of keep it. You don't be obnoxious.
Beans 100% right. You should be able to wear your Giants hat at Dodger Stadium and enjoy the game.
Well, let's not get crazy.
That's true. You should be able to wear your Padres jersey or your Padres hat at Dodger Stadium. You should be. There's no doubt about that. But if you are going to do that, you have to know while you're driving to the game that this is going to probably rub people the wrong way. You have to just take that into consideration.
We have to take a quick break. We got some great calls with some great stories on the phone. We got room for yours too. 1-800-520-1067. We'll be right back right after this on the World Famous. Talking about that Giants fan who got stabbed in the parking lot of Dodger Stadium on Monday for the LA home opener, and you don't feel too bad for him because he's a Giants fan, but that's not really the point. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067 about the people who show up at the stadium rooting for the other team and how that gets them into trouble sometimes. And
in a perfect world, this is all ridiculous. No one would be an a-hole.
Right.
Turns out it's not a perfect world. You might need to take that into account. That's all we're saying.
Let's talk to Lincoln in Fullerton. He's on line 8 this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Wants to put it in perspective a little bit for us. Hey, Lincoln, thanks for hanging on. Go ahead.
What's up, Kevin and Bean?
Hi.
It's May.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm an Angels fan, and last season I went to my first Dodger game. It was Dodgers versus Angels, and that's pretty much the ghettoest sporting event I've ever been to in my life.
Dodgers Angels?
Yeah. Well, I was there for about 3 innings, and within that 3 innings, about 5 or 6 fights broke out in the stands, and there's just bottles being thrown and everything. And this little kid came up to me. He's probably 3 or 4 years old. He taps on my shoulder in full Dodger gear, and he says, "Angels suck."
Yeah!
Never. And I looked at his dad behind him, which is, you know, this big Mexican dude with tattoos all everywhere. So I just turned around quietly and watched the game.
I worship that kid.
You know what's really funny, and I know that I am often guilty of trying to inject logic or reason into people's behavior, and it usually doesn't have anything to do with it, is you may not like the Angels because you root for the Dodgers. Just like, Kevin, you don't like the Ducks because you root for the Kings. You can't really argue that the Angels suck. I mean, they are one of the most successful franchises in sports.
Right, but I don't think they mean suck. I think they mean...
You're lame for not liking my team is what they basically mean.
Yeah, they don't really mean the Angels don't have a good baseball team.
Right. They kind of know that.
All right, let's try. Let's turn our attention to Tatiana in Tustin on line 4. Now, here's a sporting situation we haven't even talked about, but this now we're getting into it. Tatiana, go ahead. You're on the air.
I'm a New England Revolution fan, and I drove up to San Jose to go see New England play San Jose, and I just wore my jersey, and usually I'm one of those loud fans, but I was sitting in the stands with, like, all San Jose fans surrounded with me, you know, the ones with the drums,
right.
And so I said, you know, this is the game where I'm going to shut up. And
see,
you know,
now you're smart.
Mm-hmm.
But you wore the jersey, right?
And my team scored, and so, I said, yes, you know, we scored. And, like, the people around me started throwing the streamers at my head. I got a beer thrown in my face.
Oh, my God.
Like,
but it's kind of hard not to just go, yes, when your team scores,
but don't
right?
you have to look at a beer in the face like, hey, I didn't have to pay for it.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
No, just open your mouth.
Yeah, and then I like went down, like, because there are a whole bunch of people standing at the railing, and so I'm like, I don't want to sit over here, so I'll go stand at the railing, and then maybe I'll get less stuff thrown at me.
Yeah.
So I went to go stand over there, and the usher came over, and he's like, you need to sit down. You can't stand at the railing. And I was like, there's 20 people standing next to me.
Plus, New England sucks, the security said. You know, it's nothing here compared to European soccer, though.
Well,
those people,
that's the thing. I mean, they don't have a game where somebody doesn't get killed in European soccer, right? I mean, almost literally, it's crazy how much violence there is at those games. And by the way, God forbid you're a player who makes a mistake on one of those teams. How many of those stories have we seen where the guy has been tracked down and literally murdered, sometimes by fans of his own team?
Yeah, you don't want to play soccer for Colombia. I'll tell you that right now. Matt in Anaheim. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, I'm a big Dodgers fan, okay? And I live in Anaheim,
mm-hmm.
so I go to Angel fan or I go to Angel games more than I go to Dodger games just because it's local.
Right.
I go to Angel games wearing the other team's gear just to upset the Angel fans.
just because I don't like the Angels, because I'm a Dodgers fan.
Oh, so you don't wear Dodgers stuff. You wear whatever team they're playing.
Absolutely.
And have you ever been beaten up?
No, I've never been beaten up. I've gotten peanut shells thrown at me. That's part of the game. I mean, you go to stadiums, that's a part of the deal. You just got to deal with it. If you're a fan of another team, you just have to root for the other team not to win. Like, I don't have to root for the Red Sox. I don't have to root for the Yankees. I just have to root for the Angels to lose.
Right, but you also don't get freaked out when, if you're mouthing off, somebody throws peanut shells at you. Okay, so that's...
No.
All right, so that usually works out.
Why do you go to these games if you don't have a vested interest in either team? Is it do you just enjoy watching baseball or a day at the park, or do you just go because you hope to irritate as many people as possible?
Well, I'm a huge, huge baseball fan. Plus, it's really fun for me to irritate people.
All right. Fantastic. All right. We'll have to leave it there. It's 7:33 on the Kevin Bean Show. We're going to clear the lines. Kevin, tell people how they can win tickets to Coachella this weekend.
Well, we're giving away Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or all three.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're going to have to do is stump Jed. Jed the Fish has been working here for quite some time. And he knows everything there is to know about these bands as well.
Absolutely.
Especially the thing with Coachella. We're going to have to clear the lines, by the way. Thank you for everyone for calling. Especially the thing about Coachella is there are hundreds of bands. And it's impossible to kind of keep up with everything. That's why that's part of the fun of going is discovering new stuff.
Right.
But Jed knows them all.
So did you hear the fart just then?
Okay. Not yet, Joe. We're going to have you come in and talk to people in the next break.
So if you have some trivia questions, they have to be about any of the bands that are playing Coachella Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. You can call now 1-800-520-106. Dude, easy.
Kevin, calm down.
Kevin and Bean Show, the world-famous K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock, KROQ.
741.
Jed the Fish here.
All right, Jed. Hey, Jed, before we get to the calls, I've known you a long time, but I've never asked. I've never asked this question, but why are you Jed the Fish? Where did that even start? Where did that come from?
Well, that's a good question.
I was with Joe Strummer and Mark Allman from Soft Cell,
and we
were on a sushi restaurant, I believe on La Cienega in 1983, and I had some bad quaaludes and fell into the koi pond. And next thing I know, there's a koi in my mouth. The name just stuck.
Okay.
I see. Okay. All right. You prepared to take some questions from our callers? They have trivia about the acts that are playing this weekend at the Coachella Festival. If they stump you, they go into the drawing, and then they may win the tickets at the end of the segment. How's that sound?
I must warn you, I'm pretty good with these bands.
Okay. All right. I believe that. That's why we have you in. Let's say good morning to Nada in Long Beach. Good morning.
We don't have a big intro for our friend
Jed. We sure do, but Kevin doesn't like them. He doesn't like feelings or emotions.
Hang on, Nada.
Stump Jed the Fish. Can you stump? Can you stump? Can you stump?
Hello?
Can you stump Jed the Fish?
What if your name was Asshor?
Oh, no.
Stump Jed the Fish. Stump Jed the Fish. Stump Jed the Fish.
What if your name was Asshor?
All right, there you go. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Okay. Nada, Long Beach, go ahead. What's your question to Stump Jed?
Okay, I was going to ask him who the guitarist of the band X was.
It's discovered that the chemical reactions in our body when we're tickled are exactly like that when we're panicked.
I don't believe that's the man's name, Jed.
Is that
I'm
the guitarist from X, Nada?
Yeah.
It is. Okay.
I can't even hear you guys.
That's a surprise. Oh, okay. What's the real answer?
The answer is Billy Zoom.
Jed?
Yeah. So it sounds like you stumped Jed, so you're in the drawing for the tickets then.
My head's spinning right now.
All right. Let's go to George in Los Angeles then. Good morning, George.
Yeah. Hey. Good morning, everybody.
Hello. I think you'll get this one, Jed.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. Seems like an easy one. Go ahead, George.
All right. What is Morrissey's
A child uses 730 crayons by the time he's 10.
You didn't even hear the question.
He was going to hear the question?
He's going to ask you a question about...
Correct.
Okay. Go ahead and ask your question, George.
All right. What is Morrissey's former band's name in the 1980s?
What band was Morrissey in the 1980s?
The Hubble Telescope.
Is it the Hubble Telescope? George.
Wrong. It's the Smiths.
Yeah,
you
amazing.
Ever heard of them, Jed? The Smiths? Sound familiar? You played a lot of their records on K-Rock over the years?
I enjoy grape jelly. Not a big fan of butter.
Okay, all right.
How about Andrea in Pasadena on line four? Now, this should be a pretty easy one for you, Jed, because you live here in Southern California. Andrea, go ahead. You're on with Jed the Fish.
Hello, Andrea.
Hello.
Andrea. Yes, go ahead. She's gone.
Oh, too bad. We had a Silver Sun pickup straight out of Silver Lake question, but I guess not. All right,
probably
let's try Shane.
Would have got that.
Yeah, sure.
Let's try Shane in Redlands, line five, maybe even easier than the Smiths question. So listen up, Jed.
Shane.
Okay, what band was Paul McCartney from?
Sid Vicious had 11 fingers.
Is that a band?
What?
Is that the name of it? <band? laughs> Shane, is it Sid Vicious had 11 fingers?
No, it was Beatles.
It would be the Beatles, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. That was a gimme. Paul, I mean, I think Paul McCartney, easy. The Beatles, Jed. Come on. Or Wings even would have been acceptable.
Oh, I'm a little off.
A little. All right. Let's go to Lida in Granada Hills.
Hey. The ting-tings means something in Japanese slang. What
yeah. Ting-tings.
A meteor can range from the size of a grain of sand all the way up to a large boulder.
Is that correct, Lida?
That is not.
What does it mean in Japanese?
Penis.
All right.
Ting-tings. That sounds like something you would know and enjoy sharing, Jed. Right,
that's hilarious.
Let's go to Toby in Los Angeles. Good morning, Toby.
Morning. Jed, I wanted to see if you know where the band Franz Ferdinand got their name.
Yeah.
Franz Ferdinand.
Lon Chaney okay. has one testicle.
Is that correct, Toby?
I don't know about the man's testicle, but that's not correct about Franz Ferdinand.
Okay.
They're named after an Austrian archduke assassinated in 1914.
Oh, it's believed that his assassination started World War I.
That's the right guy. Yeah, wow. That's the guy, Jed.
Yes. There's a bit of a fog between the Jetster and reality. I tried the new gluten-free Cheez-Its, and I believe that the recipe has changed the consistency and the flavor.
Okay, that's interesting, Jed, but let's go ahead and find out who wins the tickets of their choice of day or days at Coachella this weekend. Lisa May, who's it going to be?
Mannequin was filmed at Woolworths.
Our winner is Toby in L.A.
Toby in L.A., the last guy we talked to. All right. Toby, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Dope. Thank you. Thank
Friday,
you,
Saturday,
you,
Sunday, or all three?
All three.
All three, you got it.
Toby, great. Did you know Venus is the only planet named after a female?
Nope. Stone, Jed the Fish.
What if your name was Ass?
That's the guy from Lost in the next room, by the way, right there.
Sure is.
Mm-hmm. Look at that. It's through the glass.
Jorge Garcia. Yeah.
You know, this season has just been so good.
It has.
Lost. Talk about a show that, you know, we talked about this for a while, that I was on the fence. I was starting to fall off the bandwagon because I wasn't too thrilled with where the show had gone, I guess, a season and a half ago.
Right.
And I don't remember any show ever coming back as strongly as this one has. I am just riveted this season.
You gave me the key, which is that you have to try to stop interpreting what's going on. Because
I had to try fitting everything together from 3 seasons ago.
Because I did quit this season, but my wife kept watching, so I keep watching with her.
Mm-hmm.
Much more enjoyable now.
If you just watch it hour to hour, it is really just a brilliantly written and performed show.
Now I don't feel so stupid, and I don't have so many questions. I just watch it just kind of as...
I have stopped punishing myself, saying, well, wait a minute, didn't Mr. Echo have something that's on his club? He wrote number 8, and Ben passed an 8 in hieroglyphics on the wall beneath the temple... And then my head explodes. I've stopped doing that.
Well, we'll talk all things Lost with Jorge Garcia coming up after the news at 8. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Wednesday morning now. What's going on?
Do you want to see the new Michael Vick reality show?
Yeah. I don't want to see anything associated with Michael Vick.
I agree.
Oh, because Bean loves dogs.
Well, that's pretty heinous to run a dog fighting ring.
Michael Vick is shopping a reality show around to producers. He said he would like to do a documentary TV series that would follow Michael beginning July 20th, which is the scheduled day of his release from federal custody, and show him trying to make amends for his past. Unless it involves him being smeared with liverwurst and thrown into a pen of rabid pit bulls, I don't think I'm too
interested. I'd watch
that. I'd watch that.
If so, I'm
awesome.
In.
Awesome, yeah. Michael Vick, dog snack. on this season on the animal
it'll
planet.
Be one episode.
That's right. It'd be a special pay-per-view.
Just it.
I'd buy it. Apparently he's having a hard time finding a taker.
Interesting.
However, he said he's had more meetings and interest on his reality series than Nadia Suleiman, the Octomom, is having on hers. Just goes to show you her level of dislike in popular culture versus Michael Vick, who has more interest than she does.
Yeah.
Take that for what it's worth. Angelina Jolie has pretty much everything a girl could want, don't you think?
I would imagine.
Handsome husband.
Sure.
By her side. Mm-hmm. Are they married or are they just stood together?
No, they're not married. Okay.
Beautiful family, astounding career. Now she has been voted the world's most beautiful woman, according to Vanity Fair magazine. She received 58% of the vote. And Vanity Fair is mostly chicks, right? Who read that?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess so.
That's a rough crowd, but she got 58% of the vote. Second? Who do you think was second in the most beautiful woman in the world voting?
Joan Rivers.
Keep in mind, it's chicks voting.
I
don't know. Gwyneth Paltrow?
No.
Megan Fox?
No, Gisele Bündchen came in at number two.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Then Halle Berry was third.
Yeah?
She's way hot. Way I don't know that she's third.
Yeah, I don't know if she's third either.
Yeah.
Bar Raffaelli and Penelope Cruz there tied for fourth place. Scarlett Johansson and Jennifer Connelly tied for fifth. So those are your top five.
Jennifer Connelly is hot, but could eat these days.
She needs a sandwich.
She could have a meal.
Yeah, absolutely.
A little better off.
You know, with all the talk about the new late-night shows and the musical chairs they're playing over there on NBC, you've got, of course, Jimmy Fallon taking over for Conan. Conan will be sliding into the Jay Leno position at The Tonight Show, and then Jay will start a weekly 10 p.m. show for NBC this fall.
You know what's lost in that?
Nightly 10 p.m. show.
That's what I meant.
You know what's lost in that shuffle? Jimmy Kimmel has the best show on late night.
There you go.
Back to you.
How about Letterman? Care for him at all?
Yeah. Second.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Jay Leno told an interesting story to GQ magazine this week that I had never heard of before, but I think it's pretty interesting. He was once arrested for vagrancy when he was a struggling comedian here in Los Angeles because he was sleeping on Hollywood Boulevard. He was homeless and he was sleeping on Hollywood Boulevard.
Dude, really?
Yeah.
Jay Leno was homeless? When? He's been a comedian forever.
This is probably the 70s. Moved out here from Boston.
Wow.
Arrested for vagrancy. And he said when he finally got his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, he had them place it in the spot where he got popped for vagrancy and arrested all those years ago.
How about that?
It's an interesting story.
Mm-hmm.
I like him more now. Not enough to watch a show, but still. I like him more.
It's like a one-man party.
It is.
That's true.
And are you excited about the Blur reunion? Anyone?
Yes.
Blur is doing some massive reunion concerts this summer in London's Hyde Park. July the 2nd and July the 3rd, Vampire Weekend and Deerhoof will be opening for them in the July 3rd show. And the Foles Hypnotic Brass Ensemble, the July 2nd show. So if you're a big Blur fan, you're going to get to London this summer because they've got their reunion concerts inked.
That's not as big a deal for us here, but in Britain they had, 20 hit singles, so I think that's probably a pretty big deal for them.
How long have they been broken up now?
It's been a number of years.
10 years?
Probably close to that,
That's what I was thinking.
This is what they said at their press conference.
This will be it. This is it. And when I say this is it, it really means this is it.
Different
this
concerts.
This is it. I mean, this is really it. This is the final.
Different.
This is the final different. Curtain call.
Right.
This is it. And when I say this is it, it really means this is it.
It's Michael Jackson.
No, that's the lead singer of Blur.
That was Michael Jackson.
I didn't know he was in Blur. I'm so confused.
Yeah, he's just blurry. Today's celebrity birthdays. Emma Thompson is 50 years old. Today, guitarist Ed O'Brien of Radiohead turns 41. Seth Rogen, our buddy from Observe and Report, currently in theaters, is 27. He's only 27 years old, man.
I know.
He's got the world by the ass. Emma Watson from the Harry Potter movies, plays Hermione in those movies, 19 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
More tickets you can win coming up for Coachella. Now, though, actually, I can't even do the introduction, Ralph, until you've done the theme song like you do every time we talk about Lost.
Oh, the Lost theme song?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
I got to do that, yeah. Wednesday nights at 9 o'clock on ABC. That means a new episode tonight. Nice and one of the stars of the show, he plays Hurley, Jorge Garcia, joins us here on the Kevin Beach Show.
Good morning.
Hey, good to see you, man. They fly to the mainland just for publicity? Is that why you're out here, or you got some other nefarious reason?
Pretty much publicity. I mean, this is a first stop, and then I'm going to do some international press.
Wow.
Yeah, I got to go to Munich and Madrid.
Oh, no kidding.
Sweet. Yeah.
That's awesome. Are you going to have time to do stuff other than your press, or are they going to just rush you to a microphone and then right back on?
No, they gave me some days off, and I also get like some afternoons and stuff like that. Yeah, I'm always like volunteering. Yeah, I don't know.
No, that's what
I don't know if that's really my thing.
Did you say you volunteer for the press a lot?
When it's international?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Because they fly you in the front of the plane. It's pretty fun. Nice.
How many countries around the world is Lost shown? Do you know?
Pretty much everywhere. I mean, it's almost easier to list how many countries it's not. I mean, I keep getting fan mail from the randomest places, and like Singapore, and then like we play in China. I've run into people from South Africa. I ran into people in places like I'll be like in London, and people who are from like South Africa will come up to me and say they're fans of the show.
Wow.
Must be cool in the Korean version that the Jin and Sun are the only two characters not dubbed. That's got to be awesome.
Yeah, everybody else is all dubbed.
Exactly.
I was wondering if you've ever watched any of those episodes to see what you sound like.
I did. In fact, I made a little compilation for myself of the scene with Charlie and me when we're fishing. And I have it play in various different languages that I got from the different foreign DVDs.
That's awesome.
The best one, I think, was the Polish one, where it's really kind of like a guy in a room just watching the show. And you hear the English, and then he kind of then says in Polish, like, whatever we just said. And it's one guy, so it's like he's doing both of us. Like, it's not like, a separate voice for each of us.
It's kind of a low budget.
Yeah.
You hear the original English track first?
Yeah,
he's literally translating while he's watching.
You kind of see him watching. It's like he's sitting there, like some guy in a room with like a cigarette and a cup of coffee. He's like, he kind of said this.
That's like DVD commentary more than... Nothing, really.
You ever hear someone that's doing your voice and you go, that's nothing like me?
Yeah, I mean, sure. I mean,
I know it sounds different because of language, but
it's funny because, like, not only that, I also hear that, like, people who are the foreign voices of American actors are kind of like that becomes their like career.
Oh, really?
Like, the guy who's Tom Cruise is always Tom Cruise in the movies because that's what they associate as the Tom Cruise voice.
Oh, that's funny.
Interesting.
So they're always interested that, you know, we get more work too.
Sure.
I was in Italy, I met my voice, and that was kind of weird.
He's praying for a big budget box office career for you.
Come on, Jorge.
All right, I hate to ask this question because I hate to ask questions that I know you guys get a million times, but you brought up flying to do the international press. Is that weird for people when they see you on a plane? I mean, just because they associate you with the show?
Are they afraid?
Well, I don't know.
Or is that just so dumb that nobody ever even thinks of it because people are smarter than that?
I don't think there is anything so dumb that no one thinks it.
Yeah,
by the way, that's...
I don't think it's so much anymore. I mean, we did stray away a lot from the fact that we were about a plane crash as the show continued. Yeah. Of course, plane crashes have returned.
Sure.
But, I mean, I'm sure on occasion, like, I know I've been on planes when we've hit turbulence and people have looked at me.
Nice job.
Yeah, I was once on a flight that had to turn around and land again in Honolulu.
Wow.
And, I got some sideways glances there, too.
I wouldn't mind. Could Hurley please step off the plane?
I don't think it would bother me if I saw Jorge, but if I, saw Jack and Cade and everyone, and they were going, like, on some mass, press tour or something, then that would flip me out.
Yeah,
that'd be bad.
Now, I don't know if you were listening in the other room, Jorge. If you're just joining us, Jorge Garcia from Lost is on the program with us. New episode tonight at 9 o'clock on Channel 7. I don't know if you were listening to the conversation we were having a few minutes ago on the air about the various degrees of how much – there's a love-hate relationship sometimes with your show because it gets so frustrating and so difficult. And then we fall in love with it all over again because now we're starting to piece it all together, or we've given up on piecing it all together. What about you as a guy on the show? Do you even bother trying to follow all these storylines, or are you just there to – make Hurley as good as you can make him?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I get, a lot of comfort in the fact that my job is just a small piece of the pie, and I let, the fans on the internet come up with the theories about what's going on.
How many times do you talk to people out and about where they know 100 times more about the minutia and all that kind of stuff than you do? They're trying to get hints or whatever.
Yeah, I get a few. Most people are just kind of like, hey, I love this show, or hey, are you on Lost? I never watch it. But
that's nice. That's a nice touch.
But I don't get anyone who delves too deeply. I mean, on occasion.
Well, Bean made a mention of it a second ago. We were talking about how we enjoy the show, and Ralph kind of, I kind of gave up because it was too much for me. I'm not that smart. And I couldn't keep stuff straight. It was too frustrating. And I just finally said, forget it. I'm not going to watch
it. Like, who's that guy and what is he doing? What should I know about this person that I don't? I mean, yeah, you just feel lost.
If you if you constantly try to keep everything from the first season throughout connected and straight, it will F you up.
Right.
You can't do it. So,
but especially me. So then Ralph said, don't try to figure it out. Don't pay attention. Just watch it as if you're just watching a show and it doesn't matter. And it's so much more entertaining now. I love it. Because I don't feel so stupid. Because I go, you know what? I'm not paying attention. I'm fine. Cool. I would get it if I paid attention, but I'm not. So,
but this season has been spectacular. It really has. I mean, and the time travel stuff, which usually makes me cry. I can't wrap my head around that time travel stuff usually. But this has been done so well that it's really been enjoyable, although it is kind of mind-bending.
Yeah, it's pretty out there. Yeah. Like, this was like, I was like, man, this is the one that's really going to test the audience, like, attention span.
But it's so fun to see the Dharma Initiative in its prime, its prime, you know, and you guys all connected up with it. It's pretty cool.
It's fun wearing the jumpsuits.
I think it looks like a comfortable day at the office. I think the clip, Kevin, that you have of Jorge's work on a recent Lost episode is a great example of how the time travel screws not only with us, the viewer, but with the people who are actually on the show.
Shoot me, please.
Aha! I can't shoot you, because if you die in 1977, then you'll never come back to the island on the freighter 30 years from now. I can die, because I've already come to the island on the freighter. This is our present.
But you said Ben couldn't die because he still has to grow up and become the leader of the others.
Because this is his past.
But when we first captured Ben and Saeed, tortured him, then why wouldn't he remember getting shot by that same guy when he was a kid?
Huh. I hadn't thought of that.
F you.
That's what I'm thinking. I don't even know what one character is saying, let alone what it all means.
But see, that makes perfect sense, because Ben still has to grow up to become Michael Emerson at this point.
Sure.
Yeah.
But because he got taken to the temple, they wiped his mind clean. He doesn't remember any of that stuff. You don't have to tell me, man.
Of the others now. He's never going to be the same.
But if you're back in the past, though, Ralph and Jorge, couldn't Ben have died and there would just be a new future? Or is that not possible?
Well, no, because he's already existed. They already know that.
Well, it really kind of depends on which theory of time travel you side with. I actually did a little research on it. I did.
What's the leading candidate?
Well, there's two ideas. Okay. One is that, you can't change anything because what happened, which is what we're currently going with.
Right.
And so, yes, it's impossible to, kill young Ben when you know that there's going to be a grown-up Ben later.
Because time is linear.
Right. But the other one says
So if you were to shoot Ben, you know he wouldn't die because he didn't?
He got shot on the show.
For some reason, you wouldn't be able to kill him, or you wouldn't be able to shoot him. As to what that is, what's going to stop you is not really clear. It's like, it's based on a theory. It's like, we'd like to maybe walk on the ceiling, but there are laws, the law of gravity, that prevents us from doing it.
Right.
And so there must be some kind of laws that time travel that we may not necessarily know what they are.
Okay, I got you.
And then this is getting really nerdy.
This
is getting really nerdy, but okay.
I want to know.
The other one is this.
I'm fascinated.
You can shoot Ben and you can kill them, but what happens is that then creates an alternate reality, like almost splitting off into another, almost like dimension-like, where an alternate reality then begins from that point on.
So time goes off on a tangent and everything is different.
So there's realities where he doesn't get shot and there's realities where he does get shot, just constantly going on in the same time.
Oh, f*** you. So in that scenario,
that's the message today.
But that would mean that
none of what we have seen happen would happen then if Ben died. Everything would be different.
Yeah, and the show would go on forever.
You could recast and launch a whole new Lost.
But both of those scenarios, the with and without Ben, those both would exist just off in different places, just not in the same plane?
I think it's something like that. Listen, and by research, I mean, I've looked at a couple books.
You read a comic book once about
in the bookstore, And so,
Time travel for dummies.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
I'm not an authority on this at all.
Before we take a break, I just want to ask you this, Hurley, Jorge, since you've obviously already read more about this.
You called him Hurley.
I know. It's an easy mistake to make.
You're that guy.
It's an easy mistake to make. Here's the thing that's always puzzled me about this. So if you go back in time, like your characters do on the show, and it works, and you actually can show up in, say, 1977, then that means that all the stuff that happened in 1977 is still out there somewhere waiting to be beamed into. It doesn't mean that it's dead and gone and not available to us anymore, which I don't understand. That means that everything that happens in time keeps happening all the time, forever, right?
No. That's crazy,
Bob. Can you repeat the part of the stuff where you said all about the things?
But they had to have something to beam back to,
right,
to get to
1977. They went back to that time, which has already happened. That stuff is gone. It only happened then.
They traveled back to it. I can't follow.
No, but he's talking about like the idea that all times are currently going on at the same time.
Exactly. Yes, that's
just
what I'm asking.
Our experiences only right now are present.
Because we're traveling through it.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like that Slaughterhouse 5 thing where aliens could see every single time period.
Right, right.
Okay, I'm lost.
Yeah, man. Let's change the subject.
Jorge Garcia is here. Lost, of course, Wednesday nights at 9 on ABC.
The only thing I care about when we come back is I want to talk to Jorge about his work with Mr. T. That's all I care about.
Me too. All right, we'll be right back. Our friend Jorge Garcia is in the studio. He, of course, plays Hurley on the TV show Lost, back with an all-new episode tonight at 9. By the way, it has been awesome the last couple of years that you run episode after episode after episode, man. None of this BS, 2 weeks off, 3 weeks off, 4 weeks off. It's been nonstop Lost this season, so thanks for that, man.
Sure.
You make that decision, right?
Right.
Like, it's not hard enough to keep things
the only other thing is that means we start, like, late January, early February, and then so we get those people mad that, you know, we're not part of the fall lineup. I'm like, when are you guys coming back?
Do you have to inform them that you don't run ABC?
A lot of times. Yeah. I also sometimes have to tell people that, listen, I don't write the show either.
Hey, you made a reference, I can't remember if it was on or off the air, to there's only a season left after this one, and people are starting to think about that, about, you know, moving out of Hawaii and having to look for a job, which, you know, as an actor, you've been had the good fortune to have a steady job for the last 4 years. That's got to be kind of weird to think you're going to be going out there looking for something else after this.
Sure. I mean, yeah, it's a little weird, but I mean, Lost is taking care of me pretty good, so I don't need to like jump to the next job right away.
Right.
So there's a little breathing room there.
That would be bad for me. I'd just sit and play video games for like 10 years and my money would just run out and I wouldn't know it. And I just sit there drooling.
Well, it was kind of like when I was on Becker and then Becker got canceled. And so it's like, well, I didn't have to go to a day job anymore. And I was like, well, so I kind of tried to do that. But I tried to structure my day, even though I was only hanging out at my house most of the time. So I'd be like, all right, this is going to be like my kind of administration time. And like, I'm going to take a lunch. you know, and it's like I can watch TV for an hour.
And
then
I got to
stop. I kept it up for
a couple
weeks.
Really?
Couple weeks.
Yeah, right. So.
Better than most.
I wouldn't have got that far.
Will you reunite with your old friend, Mr. T? Is that something that's a possibility in the future?
Yeah, what is this?
We read in your bio that you worked on a Mr. T video when you were a kid. Is that true?
Oh, is this from the resource IMDb?
I think it may
be, excellent.
Yes.
You know,
so you weren't
saying that?
No,
not the
that's
case.
Not true.
That's too bad. Damn.
There's a lot. I'm also not in a band with Matthew Fox called The Lost Souls. That's in there.
All right.
Wow.
I'm not so a voice open. On Hitman. The game.
I was so hoping you worked with Mr. T. It would have been so cool.
I wish I had that story. Let's start over. Let's start
you
over.
You need to make one up.
We understand that you worked with Mr. T when you were a kid.
Yeah, he pitied me.
Nicely done.
Is it true, and I think it's in the same bio, that you have done stand-up comedy? Is that
I
true?
Did. I dabbled in it, like in L.A., just kind of open mics and a lot of cafeterias and stuff where, like, you had to bring your friends.
What was that like? It says Laugh Factory in the thing I read.
Yeah, in the Laugh Factory, if you wait around all day on Tuesday, you got to do 3 minutes. So, okay. Yeah, it was Laugh Factory.
Did you? You apparently didn't love it because you would have kept doing it.
No, it was fun, but I didn't have the discipline that other comedians did. Where like they'll do the same 6 minutes every single time, just honing the same 6 minutes.
Right.
And I got bored real quick. And also, it's my same friends coming to see me, so I always want to try and do something different for them.
Right. That's too much work, isn't it?
Yeah, and I didn't, so I was just like, you know, so, I didn't have the discipline to hone anything. I would just be like, here's what I want to talk about today.
And you can make your friends laugh over dinner. You really didn't have to go to a club to do that, right?
Right?
So it's a lot easier, probably.
All right, what happens on tonight's Lost? Can you give us a heads up for that?
Tonight's a heavy Miles story.
He talks to dead people, right, Miles?
Right, yeah. And you get a little more of that. And Hurley kind of goes on the adventure with him, you know, riding along the van and stuff. And
Mr. T is in tonight's episode as well, or no?
There's your next job, by the way. Hurley Miles spinoff. We get their own show. It's a unique thing.
You know? Mr. T's the body in the back of the van. And
Hurley is an awesome character, though, in that he is so underestimated by the other people on the island sometimes, because he's actually very smart and very observant, and people just kind of, you know, they don't take him seriously. And I think that must be fun to play that way sometimes.
It's cool. I mean, it's fun getting to, you know, everyone's saying, you can't come, and the next thing you know, you save the day by driving the van into a guy.
Did they tell you that about your character, or did you kind of try to build it that way, where people underestimate you for whatever reason?
No, it's pretty much like any information I get about Hurley, I get it off the script. And I mean, they created the part for me at the beginning of it all, so it kind of, I'd fill in the blanks with, you know, whatever's close to my own personality, and then as these things just kind of showed up, and just that's kind of like the feedback loop between me and the writers, is like, you know, what I do, you know, with what they give me, and then what they write to. And so.
Did you, in fact, win the lottery and then go to a crazy house? Did that happen to you in personal life?
No, that was only in pretend life.
Okay, pretend life. Trying to keep it straight. All right.
Well, you are terrific on the show, Jorge. You really do a great job with the Hurley character, and we really enjoy watching you every week, and we're very excited to have a new episode of Lost tonight at 9 o'clock on ABC Channel 7, and I hope you'll come back and see us again soon.
Sure, that'd be sweet.
Thank you, man.
We had the band Silver Sun Pickups in on our show yesterday, and they performed a couple of songs live for us in the morning. If you want to see those videos of the performances, you can go to KROQ.com, Kevin and Bean section. They are up available for you. Of course, the Pickups are also playing Coachella this weekend, and we have all the details that you need if you're going to Coachella at KROQ.com, including the complete lineup. I'm going over this schedule right now, and if I were going to the show, I would have a lot of very difficult decisions to make because there are oftentimes two or three bands in some cases playing at the same time on different stages. What do you do with that?
You try to catch a little of each.
I guess you're on the run.
It sure is a fun 3 days, I'll tell you that. And we have David on the line. Good morning, David.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Big fan of K-Rock here. Hey, listen, I was wondering if you got those tickets for Coachella, how I get those tickets. Do I just come down to the station there, or how do I get them?
I didn't realize it was that, David. This is David Hasselhoff.
Yeah, hey, big fan of K-Rock.
Right, okay. You can just go to Ticketmaster.
Yeah, but if I can come down and get some tickets from you guys, that'd be great. Big fan.
Well, we're giving away some to our audience. But,
great.
But not just if you come down in person. I mean, we actually have to do a contest kind of thing.
So. Okay.
All right.
Let's play name a Knight Rider episode.
No. You can't come up with the contest.
No, it'd be great. We'll have a good time. Coche Fantastico.
Right. I think
in South America, they call it Coche Fantastico.
They do,
that's
yes.
That's what I've heard, yeah.
That's amazing.
I think what Kevin is trying to say, Hoff, is that you can't just call up and say, hey, I want tickets. Give me tickets. We try to make it more fair to everybody listing so that everybody has a shot to win them.
Oh, okay. So I just come down and pick those tickets up then? Is that what I should do?
But don't you have like an assistant or somebody that can go on Ticketmaster and try to, you know, hook you up?
You guys know if they have any rooms at the Marriott out there? Is there any rooms you know of?
We don't really.
How far is the Coachella from the Marriott, if I were to get some rooms there?
We're not positive about that because we don't stay there, and we're not sure how far it is.
So I just come down to get those tickets.
No,
then,
you
huh?
should. There's. You should maybe try to have an assistant, you know, call over there.
How about a Baywatch quiz? How about a Baywatch contest?
Well,
I could like run it, and then I could get tickets. Come on down there and get those tickets.
The contest has to be won by a listener, and it has to be. It can't be you doing the contest.
All right. How about if I just win the contest? Then I'm a listener. Can I just come down and get those tickets? Then
no. We don't have any tickets for you this year. None.
Wow.
Yeah. Sorry, dude.
Listen.
We
just gotta have a drink then. All right.
Oh, no, don't do that.
It's actually best if you stay away from
maybe
that.
Maybe we can find...
No, man, I understand. It's okay.
Maybe we can find...
No, I'm okay.
That works quick in your system.
I'm all right.
Hoff. All right.
Yeah.
Listen, don't... We're not trying to be rude. Yeah. We just got rules we got to follow.
Yeah, no,
that's
this,
all.
No, this is okay.
Don't go down that path,
yeah.
Hoff.
Mm-hmm.
Don't.
I'm all right.
Oh, no.
Nope.
Now I feel kind of responsible.
Nope.
We didn't mean to send you on this path, Hoff.
This is no. No.
What?
Now I'm cheesed Hoff.
He still got it. Yeah, he still got it.
I'm okay.
Yeah, we're sorry.
Yeah.
Maybe we can set aside some tickets for you next year.
That's okay. I'm all right. I'm okay.
You're okay.
Okay. All right, Hoff.
You know how far the Marriott is from the concert?
It's just a couple minutes walk, I think.
Average. Oh, boy.
Okay.
I'm all right.
All right, good.
Big guy can introduce the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Well, they're not playing this year.
Big fan of K-Rock.
Right. Right.
So we hear.
And we appreciate that, but.
Okay, fantastical.
Right. We can't.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I wish we could help you, but.
I'm all right.
All right, good.
Thanks.
You sounded better, but.
I'm
all right.
I'm
okay. What?
We can't make that one out, Hoff. I'm sorry.
Big fan of K-Rock.
Big fan of K-Rock.
Oh, thank you. Hey, yes, thanks for bringing it back up for a second.
Can I come down and just get those tickets?
Sure.
Okay.
The Coachella Valley Board of Tourism presents another in an ongoing series, How to Survive the Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival. Chapter 31, Bowels and Bladders. Going to the bathroom can be half the adventure while attending Coachella. Okay, three-quarters of the adventure. Maybe 91% of the adventure. Lines at the porta-potties can be quite long. In fact, last year, the end of one porta-potty line was actually discovered to be in the small seaside town of Pensauken, New Jersey. So, get in line early. Actually, get in line before you have to go. Get in line now, or glue your poopy hole shut. Enjoy the Coachella Valley Music and Art Festival. And as we say here at the Board of Tourism, try not to die.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the World Famous K-Rock 106.7.
Sweet.
KROQ at 8:56.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Wednesday morning. What's going on, Argar?
Did you catch AI last night?
Nope.
You know I did.
Strong. Strong. Quentin Tarantino was the guest coach. Came in to teach all the kids about music from movies.
He's a hell of a singer.
He has produced so many albums. Oh, wait a minute.
Well, he does do... He's very effective at picking the right songs for the scenes in his movies.
Yes.
You do have to give him credit for that.
Right.
That
helps people perform.
I don't know how that helps.
Well, then why are you bringing that up?
I'm just saying it's not random. I mean, he at least has some musical knowledge.
If the contestants on American Idol were making movies that needed music to be picked...
Ah. Better choice.
He'd be perfect.
No one has heard more music or owns more music than you, Bean. Do you think you'd be qualified to tell seven people how to perform their songs?
Nope. I would not.
Well,
not
then, there you go. Caite la boca. last night, Adam Lambert, the gay Elvis impersonator, performed Born to Be Wild by Easy Rider. He's got a good voice, man. He's a good rock singer.
I would like Kevin to be honest and listen to a clip of the song and admit if he does think it's the guy's actually talented and if it's actually good. Because Kevin hates all things AI, but I think this performance may turn him around.
It's a guy from AI singing an old song from the 60s, which Kevin loves. So that'll win him over.
Well, that's two great things.
I like smoking lightning.
Wow.
That's a note he hits there.
Wow.
Dude.
What do you think?
Wow.
Not bad, right?
That's pretty goddamn impressive.
Yeah. Okay. Is Queen looking for a new lead singer?
Seriously.
That's what he sounds like. An Axl Rose, Queen, kind of Freddie Mercury rock thing he's got going on.
He has an unbelievable voice, but it sounds to me just like not being too nitpicky, but that he oversings everything. Like,
well, he does.
Pretty theatrical.
Take it easy, dude.
He's done other songs where he's been very sort of subdued, but this thing being a big rock number, he kind of turned
it
up.
He just let loose.
Very well, job done, baby.
It's better music than you'd expect on a show like American Idol.
Yes.
That's for sure.
Yeah, by far.
Yeah, I think...
he seems better than any other season, just for me. I don't watch,
I think he's amazing.
He seems like he's got an amazing voice.
Yeah. He is pretty talented. It's pretty much a foregone conclusion that he will be the winner this year.
But at least we don't have to wait for three more months while they narrow everything down to him.
The good news is the show's running so long now and pushing other Fox shows out of the way so much that they had to cut down on the judges commenting on the performers. Which is the only real reason you watch this thing. Because you don't want to see Ryan Seacrest get up there and say, "Oh, Simon, you look at your shirt." Or some whatever lame-ass comedy he tries to do.
Yeah. Right.
So they added a judge this year, but now they don't have time for them all. So they're going two by two. These two judges will pick one person to talk about, and then the other two judges will pick one person to talk about them.
Oh, so only two at a time?
Yeah, I want to hear what Simon says about everybody, but you don't. You only get to hear what he says about half the people. It's BS. They should and then you got Paula Abdul talking, and there's
well,
no
she
reason
takes up everyone's
she should
time.
Ever say anything because she doesn't. She's pointless.
Yeah.
Here's what she said last night.
Take it all in, my dear. The reason, Adam, that you're shaking up this whole competition is that you dare to dance in the path of greatness.
What?
By the way, that's true.
You dare to dance in the path of greatness.
She does dare to do that.
What are you, a guru? Are you a fortune cookie? What the F do you mean?
I don't even understand
yes,
that.
Yes, my friend, you dare to dance in the path of greatness. Don't look the bull in the eye when the sandstone comes and clouds the fires of Hades.
Take it all in, my dear. The reason, Adam, that you're shaking up this whole competition is that you dare to dance in the path of greatness.
How do you not go to her after every singer? That's what I would say. I want to hear what she has to say.
Just talk to her.
It's crazy.
And I don't know if it's an act for TV, but Simon is so disgusted to have to sit next to Paula and listen to the tripe that comes out of her mouth. He is just openly mocking her, just rolling his eyes. He has no idea what she's talking
about.
Last
night, he's like, I have no idea what you just said.
There's no way he likes sitting next to her. I mean, no. That has to be real.
He's always touching him, too. It's weird.
He has disdain for all the other judges, I guess. Sure. Sense. Maybe Randy Jackson, he gives him a little leeway because Randy actually produced records and did stuff like
right.
that. But everyone else, he pretty much hates. That's why he's the best. That's the guy you want to see.
And so we'll find out tonight who gets voted wearing prom dresses every episode, too. I still can't get over that.
Yeah, she's 50 years old and she dresses like... Like she's going out to Ledoux.
Maybe she is.
Probably is. Under the table at Ledoux. Another quick email I got here from a listener who gave me an entertainment story, which I had not heard.
Oh, cool.
Ralph and Entertainment News. Actor Jared Leto was shooting a film on location in Israel.
Hello.
And was being housed in a small dwelling in a nearby Jewish settlement. On the first evening there, Leto was awakened by the incessant chirping sound from a small fireplace in the corner of the room. Grabbing a flashlight, the actor knelt down to examine the hearth. The sudden beam from the flashlight caused a panicked swarm from a large pocket of live crickets, which flew into his face, temporarily blinding him.
Wow.
The following day, all the shooting film was postponed due to Jew crickets in Jared's eyes.
I've got Jew crickets in Jared's eyes. Won't you pack your bags, we'll leave tonight. Chew crickets and Jared's eyes. I said, chew crickets and Jared's eyes.
So fresh.
Strong.
No! No!
Yes. Yes.
Chew crickets
in Jared's eyes. The Jew crickets were in Jared's eyes. That's all I'm telling you. Today's celebrity birthdays. Emma Thompson is 50 years old today. Guitarist Ed O'Brien from Radiohead turns 41. Seth Rogen turns 27 years old today. And Hermione... From all the Harry Potter movies, Emma Watson celebrates her 19th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So what's the deal, the new feature? Is it Archery Wednesday, or what are we doing here? What's going on?
Hey, Kevin Devine, I'm a longtime listener of the morning show. Thought you would be the best person to ask about the question. I'm a student at California State University, Long Beach. In May, we will be holding the USIAC, which stands for the United States Intercollegiate Archery Championship.
Wow.
I was wondering if K-Rock would be interested in sponsoring our tournament in some way.
Yes.
So here's what happened. They have an archery team, and they thought, we need sponsors, and somehow they put that together with K-Rock. And
well,
it's probably
course.
Because
makes
our sense. Our long history with archery.
Sure, of course.
I would guess. So let's call this dude and see what it would actually entail as far as... sponsoring, what it would cost, what we would get.
Do we have to buy bows and arrows?
Do we have to shoot bows and arrows?
Does not get a lot of advertising, so maybe this is our way in to reach some eyeballs. I don't know how many people are coming to this tournament, but maybe this is worth our time.
Have our name on the targets, something like that.
Oh, your name's already in targets.
Yeah, yeah.
USIAC, United States Intercollegiate Archery Championship.
Don't have to tell me.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, is this Robert?
Yeah.
Roberto Gizzy?
Roberto
Gizzy?
Geeksy.
All right. Why did you think of K-Rock when you were thinking of archery?
I was hoping you guys would support, the local community. And, you got us hosting the 2009 Intercollegiate Archery Championship. And...
Okay, but my question was, why did you think of K-Rock? I mean, when you listen to our station, do we sound that gay?
No.
Well, no. No, you're just looking for any sponsors?
No, we're looking, for just people to help us out and get the word out that we're hosting this.
Okay. What would it take for us to sponsor the Archer Championship? What would we have to do?
Well, we're looking for just like donations right now, and you know, just to get the word out. And
okay.
It's got to be so frustrating for you athletes in this department who see football and basketball getting all the money and all the press and all the sponsorships and everything, and then you guys are out there with your little bow and arrows. It's got to be so sad that, you know, it's got to be hard to kind of raise awareness of your event.
Yeah, well, I mean, we have companies, big companies like the Easton Sports Foundation that help us out and sponsor our event, and mm-hmm. they also sponsor, you know, baseball events and, you know, other forms of...
Let's get down to brass tacks. How much would it cost us to be a sponsor?
Right now, just $100, and we're
in. $100, we're in.
Really?
What do we get for that? We get to put our faces on all the signage, or on the targets, or on the bows, on the arrows. What do we get?
Well, we're basically selling like ad space on the bottom of the targets, and
we get to be on the target.
So literally on the target.
All right, I think Kevin was starting to think, right as we were dialing you up, Roberto, I think Kevin had a germ of a great idea. Could we get a picture of Lisa May's back on the target?
Yeah!
it would just be below the target. It wouldn't be on the actual target
That's
itself.
Okay. People could aim there if they wanted to.
Sure.
Could like her back and neck be on the bottom, and then as you get up to the top, right where her head would be the target.
The bullseye.
There you go.
Yeah. We could put any picture there we want, right? It doesn't have to say Kevin and Bean. It doesn't have to say K-Rock. Just a picture of Lisa Mays.
As long as it's within reason that we're not going to get in trouble for putting it up, yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll try to come up with something. Now, would this just be, is the $100 just for one target, or would it be for all the targets in the tournament?
No, for one target. And if you guys want to do like five targets, we put like the name of on the back of the t-shirt that we're giving out to all the archers.
Don't want that. We just want the picture. We want the picture on the t-shirts.
That's all right.
Lisa Mays back, and I want to take the picture, Lisa. All right. I think will you find out for us if something like that would be possible? Because if we can do that, then we are in for the $100. All right, Roberto?
Oh, yeah?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. If we can put the picture that we want on the targets, we're in.
Okay.
All right.
All right, cool. Get back to us. Thanks, man. We appreciate it.
We'll do it. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Lisa, we got to take those pictures today.
Just so we
can show them what they are going to get.
Of course.
Okay, good. Did you guys hear about the gay elephant? I know it sounds like
a
setup to a joke.
I did not.
Did you walk into a bar with a priest?
It's not a setup to a joke. It's actually happening.
Nino is the recently acquired bull elephant to come to Poznan Zoo in Poland. But the trouble is, he's not feeling very bullish. Nino is suspected of being gay and unlikely to be much help in creating any baby elephants at the zoo.
Okay, so they bought a bull elephant so that they could have sex and have little elephants?
Right.
Okay. Elephant is gay. This could only happen in Poland, by the way. So then she goes on.
And while some may feel this is Nino's own business, one local politician has become infuriated at the money spent on a non-breeding elephant. Mikhail Gerzes, a conservative councillor, said €8.3 million had been spent on a new elephant centre, the largest in Europe, and the money wasn't meant to look after gay elephants. Staff at the zoo still haven't entirely ruled out that Nino may yet learn to like the ladies.
That's how it works.
He's only 10 years old, and elephants don't reach sexual maturity until 14.
All right.
So the conservative politicians in Europe hate the gays, too. It's not just here in America. I think I see. Well, you're not going to believe this, but producer Alex is amazing because she was able, I believe, to line up the councilman on the phone. Mikhail Gerzes joins us from Poland right now. Can you hear us, sir?
Hello?
Hello, is this the councilman?
No, he's not here. Who's this?
Kevin and Bean calling from K-Rock Radio in America.
Oh, Kevin and Bean, how are you?
We're good. Who's this?
That's just Nino.
Nino the gay elephant.
That's right. How are you?
Why wouldn't they put in the story that you could answer the phone as well?
I don't know. They did not tell nothing of importance in story.
Wow.
Yes.
So they concentrate on the negatives that you're not making enough babies, but they neglect to mention that you can talk.
Right. How about some positive press for gay elephants once in a while?
Okay, so that part of the story is accurate. You are a gay elephant.
Well, I haven't decided yet.
Okay.
I'm only 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But I do like hanging out with the fellows.
Right.
And I do love big, long trunks.
Right.
Is the theory perhaps true that you're just a little bit too young to decide what kind of sex you're going to have yet? Because you're still a baby?
Sure.
Okay, maybe not.
Whatever you need to decide to get through the night. Whatever works for you. That's what I told my mother and father.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I don't know what I like better yet.
So you do like male elephants, and it's just a tough road to hoe for you.
It's not easy being gay elephant. Yeah. Everyone looks at you funny.
Sure.
I bet. Yeah.
And also, it's hard to have gay sex with the elephant.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Because the trunk gets in the way. You know, while you're trying to suck elephant.
Oh, wow. I didn't need that much information.
I'm saying, it's hard to get down there, first of all,
right.
Because the low to the ground.
Right, I think we understand.
And we're not exactly the most limber animals in the jungle.
That's correct.
No, that's true.
And we have big flappy ears.
Right.
Which are good for holding on to, though. So there's pluses and minuses with gay elephanting.
Really? Wow.
Now, Ninio, let me ask you this. Do you don't find anything attractive about the female elephants? You don't think they're a least bit sexy or pretty?
Let me ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to the zoo and you look at elephants, can you tell the difference between the male and the female elephants?
I really can't.
No,
I
don't.
Exactly.
I don't
so
think
it's really
so.
Just one small difference, really. It's like having sex with a female, really.
Except
you have a big...
Well, that's almost a negative in every situation.
I'm just saying. Other than that, it's exactly the same.
Okay, all right. So it's really, this whole story is just being blown up out of proportion. It's not that big a deal.
They called me Ninio, by the way.
Yes.
What did they expect? What a gay name that is.
Good point.
Ninio. That's gay.
That looks like Ralph Garman is joining us in studio this afternoon. Hey, Ralph.
Hey, it is.
Hey, Ralph.
Michael Jackson got a reprieve. Apparently his stuff is not going up for auction as we all originally believed. Julianne's Auction House, the place that had the deal with Michael to sell off all his stuff so he could make a few bucks, apparently has reached an agreement with the King of Pop to not sell off more than 2,000 items from Michael's personal collection.
Okay.
Instead, he gets to keep it, and they get to show it as an exhibition. They will put it on display and open it to the public, and they get to keep the money from ticket sales. But he gets to keep all of his junk.
Oh, okay.
So I guess
I've seen some video of this. It's in a warehouse or something somewhere, and
it's right
unbelievable
here in
how much stuff there is that you can go visit.
Where is it? Here in Los Angeles. I don't have the address for you, but I'll find it.
Please do.
And we'll
I think we need to visit.
I think we need to take a tour. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Shia LaBeouf. He's hurting. He's talking about his car accident for the first time publicly since July 2008, when he had that car crash. Tells Entertainment Weekly that he'll only likely ever have about 80% use of his hand that he hurt in that accident.
Oh, wow.
Never get full use, huh?
No, he's had three surgeries on the hand so far, one as recently as April the 2nd. I imagine in like 2 months I'll be back on my feet, he said, but it's hard to do anything, hard to button your pants, hard to brush your teeth, let alone jump off a three-story building into a pad, he said about filming the Transformers sequel. It's the most physical thing I've ever had to do, and I had to do it with a broken hand.
Wow.
So, rough times. That's why you shouldn't drink and drive, because then you can't do your sequels. That's what I've always said.
That's true. That's good advice for everybody listening.
I think so.
Hey, you guys want to know where the thing is? If you want to go see it, the public exhibition?
Yes.
Where's the thing? It's very close. 9900 Wilshire Boulevard, Beverly Hills, adjacent to the Beverly Hilton.
Oh, wow.
Huh. 10 to 6 daily, going on April 14th through the 21st.
Huh. I think it's in the old Robinson May.
Oh, no
That
kidding.
May be it.
Huh.
That may be it. That
remember the Robinson right. May department store right next to the Beverly Hilton?
Remember that there was one, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, they went out of business.
Okay.
And they sold some of the stores to Macy's, I believe, and some of them have just been lying fallow.
Huh.
And I think that might be where they're storing this.
So it's already open and you can go?
It's an unbelievable collection.
He said the 16th through the 21st, right?
That's awesome.
14th through the 21st, right.
14th. Is it?
That was yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Huh.
Does it, say there if Emmanuel Lewis is in the exhibition?
Yes, he is. He's in one of the glass cases.
Okay, good.
Come on, let me out.
I'm in.
It's a little, fist hitting the glass right
That's
there.
That's what it was?
That's what that was.
Okay.
And lastly, don't feel too badly for Mel Gibson. Sure, he's getting divorced. And sure, that divorce will likely cost him $450 million. But on the other side, he'll still have $450 million, and he'll be banging a 24-year-old Russian smoking hot pop singer.
Yeah!
I'm sure, among others.
Yeah, exactly. He may not just stick to the one once he's single. Her name is Oksana Pochepa.
Okay.
And sounds like a gay elephant.
She is a smoking hot Russian pop singer. And
where did we see pictures of her?
Tyler Durden, I think.
Tyler Durden. Yeah.
Okay. WWTDD.com has photos of her. She first hit the Russian charts when she was 13 years old, by the way. She's sort of their Britney Spears. And she said to the London Sun tabloid newspaper the other day, "This is serious, and I hope that our union will be real and strong and long-lasting."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Yep.
Count on it.
Mel's going to treat you like a shot of chilled vodka, baby. He's going to knock you down and then move on to the next one.
The first girlfriend after a long-time marriage ends, that's the one that you stick with.
This story here says that many people will focus on the part that Mel Gibson is 53 and she is just 24. But those people are women and homosexuals.
Really? Does it say that?
That's what it says.
I don't think that doesn't sound right.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Emma Thompson. You know her from movies that are boring and long and British.
That's correct.
She is
double Oscar winner,
Emma Thompson, by the way.
Otherwise known as Bean's favorite movies.
That's right.
Right.
She is 50 years old today. Actually, she is in one of my favorite films. Love Actually. You ever see that movie?
I don't remember.
Was she in a comedy about Christmas? She was not in Fast and Furious.
No, I'm out.
She was in Fist and Furious.
Oh, my God.
You don't expect that from her.
Which was a little-known Jane Austen novel.
Really?
The Fist and the Furious.
I hadn't heard that.
It's true. Ed O'Brien of Radiohead turns 41 years old today. Actor Seth Rogen is 27. And actress Emma Watson, she's Hermione from the Harry Potter movie. She is 19 years old.
Yep.
That's what I'm saying.
Yep.
I got a magic wand for her.
Oh.
I'd like to introduce her to my hogwart. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, sorry, Billy Bob. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show this week.